much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Is this a joke?
No, not joking. This is real. Painfully real. What is happening right now?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Excuse me. Hi. You're Casey Kasem. You're unbelievable.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
No. Seriously, I'm telling you. You blow me away.
Well, that's really nice of you to
say. No. I'm telling you what you do. It's really amazing. It's fabulous.
Yes, well, can we get...
No. I'm telling you. I'm telling you what you do. I really get it. I get what's going on with you. It's amazing. Really. Great stuff.
Yes.
No. Really. Do me a favor. Say, coming in this week at number one, it's Lionel Richie. We're stuck on you. Huh?
No, I really don't think I can do
it. No. Come on, do it. Seriously, do it. Come on, do it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is it legal to be this insane?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, good boy!
Roll another one.
So this is your first time dabbling
just
in food.
Like the other one.
It's like a thought. Another thought
this
hat
one
on.
Seems to be about to quit.
Is that what's troubling you, friend?
Another
coming in at number one this week is Lionel Richie was stuck on you.
That's great. You need this at home all the time, right? That's good. All right, do Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Come on.
Roll another one.
But I've just been nailed.
Just like.
I'm Larry Flint. I approve this message.
This is magical.
I don't have another cent.
Don't be shy to tell me it's a great idea. To be honest, I love compliments.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Just passing around.
Act like a bitch, just slap like a bitch.
Okay, it's got to be the Mexicans, right?
I'll just pass it on down.
And now,
here's
our feature presentation.
Good morning, party people. Yes, I know, right? Welcome on into another Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Friday.
I somehow managed to screw up the intro today, and it's been a long time since I've done that.
A long time. I think it was Kevin's fault.
Very disconcerting. No, it was clearly beer mug's
fault. Oh, all right. Yes.
Look, there's no doubt about that, but...
Fire beer mug.
I am not going to let that stand in the way of what is finally a Friday show, because I have been looking forward to this one too long to let my screw-up worry us here.
All right.
How's everybody doing? What's going on?
Well, I can't see anything on the other side of this board anymore. Like, I can barely see the top of Beer Mug's head because they've decided to add yet another monitor across this expanse between us. So now there's like five. I'm like, what? What? This isn't NASA.
You are now complaining about not being able to see Beer Mug?
Well, and then, you know, Kevin comes back and his beauty will be denied me as well.
That's true.
Why even come to work?
Yeah, you want to be able to stare into those piercing blue eyes all day. I understand that. Yeah, it is a mystery how every single day Lisa has something new to come into. I don't know what's going on either. Well, we have a tremendous program for you today, but I want to start with this story. Sadly, it is not out of Florida, although it sounds like it should be. Apparently, there is a problem in Maine with out-of-state drug dealers coming in and selling drugs, especially prescription drugs. They come in and they got a business going where they sell pills, they steal them or however they get them, and then they sell pills to people all over the state of Maine. And apparently, there's quite a network set up. And somehow, the police in Waterville, Maine, were tipped off to the fact that some drugs were going to be coming into town. So they set up a sting. They set up some police cars. They knew the vehicle that was going to be coming. They knew the people that were going to be coming. They were just primed and ready to arrest these people.
Sounds great.
And they did. It happened a couple of Saturday nights ago, just after midnight, at a gas station on Kennedy Memorial Drive. The people arrested were Ebony Howard, 28, who's a delight, and William Waters, 31, both of New York City. Now, the reason I love this story so much is how many drugs were packed into the cavities of Ebony Howard.
Really?
We do stories all the time about the ladies who managed to use their secret super their super secret pouch as some way to hide stuff. Remember we had that story recently about somebody who was hiding a gun in her vagina, right?
They bring in a whole suitcase to prison in their vagina.
Yes, they pretty much do. And sometimes you're trying to transport so much stuff that you don't even you fill that up, and then you got to start using other places in your body.
Oh.
Sometimes you're using all the cavities because you've got so much drugs.
Really?
How many oxycodone pills did Ebony Howard, 28, of New York City, have in her body?
Oh, God. Well, the way you're describing it, I'm going to say 2,000.
Well, I wish it were that many, but still 645.
Yay!
645 oxycodone pills. Now, think about how many that is. If you have a bottle of oxycodone, like if you go and have surgery or something, they give you a bottle, it has like 30 pills in it.
600?
Think
over
about
600.
645 oxycodone pills in her body.
How many cavities did she use?
Let's see. After the arrest, blah, 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 occurred with that incident, after Howard was searched, police found the pills packed into all of her body cavities. Now, I don't know. They're not talking about nose, too. I can't imagine.
Nobody would do that. But that would be the front and the back.
Yeah, that would at least be the front and the back. She also had a small amount of marijuana and 2.7 grams of a substance being tested that may be ecstasy. Each is charged with aggravated trafficking. They're eligible up to up to 30 years in prison and $50,000 in fines.
She had to be walking like she had a load on, right?
Yes, I would think. I would think it would be fairly obvious at that point if you're carrying that many drugs in your body. And at some point, ladies, if you need to move hundreds and hundreds of pills, don't you get a purse or a fanny pack? There's got to be something, right? There's got to be some easier way than using your vajayjay.
That is a skill, though. You can carry all kinds of things up there.
I wonder if they charge extra for those pills because of how they got them into the state. I don't know about that. That's a good point.
I know where it is. It's in your butt.
Or less, depending on if you buy the pills from the backside. That's an excellent point. You get them cheaper, right? Anyway, so Ebony Howard, Kevin Amin's Citizen of the Day. That is excellent work. Again, shocked that it wasn't in Florida.
No, very much.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Amin show, shall we?
I'm so hot, I need some mother loving of mitts. I'm so hot, I need some mother loving of mitts.
Yes, you do. The greatest rapper maybe since Tupac. We've got GMC Fo Show on the program today. We have referred to him in the past as Gillionaire, but apparently he is now going by GMC Fo Show. The man who says, quote, "I don't ever have to check my swag. If I'm out of swag, I'm dead. It's the only thing that makes my heart beat." That's chemistry. That's my man right there. We're going to have him on at 7 o'clock this morning. I am so excited. He's maybe my favorite rapper.
Yeah, and a little elusive, too.
He certainly is. He is not exactly playing the fame game. I'll tell you that. We had a lot of trouble tracking this dude down. Friday, it is the Movie Beat. That means Ralph reviews movies he hasn't seen coming up next hour. And one of the stars of one of those movies, Gerard Butler, is going to be on today. He's in that new Olympus Has Fallen. So Gerard is going to be on, who, by the way, no one enjoys being a movie star more than Gerard Butler, huh?
Clearly.
That dude is living the life.
He works it.
Also, Beer Mug, I have scheduled you to go 3 rounds with Cain Velasquez in the 9 o'clock hour this morning.
I think Lisa said she was going to go 3 rounds.
No,
with Cain.
I think that was you.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be Beer Mug.
Yeah.
He, of course, is the current UFC heavyweight champ, talking about UFC 160. Tickets are going on sale. He's great, by the way, this guy.
Yeah.
His last fight with Anderson Silva, do I have this right, Muggs? And I know this is the rematch coming up in May, but his last fight, there was so much blood that it was wondered if Anderson Silva could even see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was it.
It was a beatdown.
Now, not Anderson Silva.
Who was it, Dave?
Who is it, Dave?
Junior Dos Santos.
Oh,
that was the bloody fight.
Oh, that was the okay. All right, I'll accept that. But in fact, Junior and Anderson and Cain are all on the bill for UFC 160. So there's going to be a lot to talk about when Cain comes in here. Also, remember this time yesterday we were talking about crazy marriage proposals. That guy that spent $45,000 to propose to his girlfriend. And I said at some point we got to get some calls from people who have, you know, really tried to do it up for the proposal. Not the wedding, mind you. This is just the proposal. They've gone to elaborate lengths with,
yes,
you know, with movies and flash mobs and everything else. We're going to take those calls today. We've got that coming up on the show today. We're going to check in with our Kevin's assistant, Linus, find out how Kevin's vacation is going. I'm sure they've got him working hard somewhere around the world. Always love catching up with Linus.
Linus, yes.
And I'm very excited to talk to our old friend Dexter Holland today. And we're not going to be talking about The Offspring, the band he sings for. We're going to be talking about his new research paper that just came out called The Identification of Human MicroRNA-like Sequences Embedded Within the Protein Encoding Genes of the Human Immunodeficiency Virus.
He uses his off time well, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. It's Dexter Splains Science. That's going to be the feature on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and it's all next right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. By the way, next hour, between 6 and 7 o'clock, your final chance to win tickets to System of a Down at the Hollywood Bowl and be eligible for the grand prize drawing to see them play in Milan, Italy. We're going to do that that grand prize drawing in the 7 o'clock hour this morning and this weekend here on K-Rock, giving away tickets to Coachella.
Ella.
Yes, wow. Coachella tickets this weekend. So keep on listening to K-Rock. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning.
Finally Friday. What's going on?
Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Good news, bad news when it comes to American Idol. The good news is American Idol hit an all-time low for Wednesday night performance shows for a fourth consecutive week this week.
Fire beer mug.
I don't think beer mug has anything to do with this.
I'm sure he does.
America has had an assful of American Idol, and they've stopped watching in droves. That's
we all
the
have.
Good news. That's the good news.
Uh-oh.
The bad news is it was still the number one rated show.
Yeah. Still big.
So they're down, but everything else is down more.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So it's going to be around for a while. Yeah. However, it was up against mostly reruns and stuff, so it's got that going for it. I look forward to its demise.
It's been a while. And
it's
by
been
the way,
a while.
And by the way, you won't find two bigger American Idol fans than Ralph and me from back in the day. We were obsessed with that show, remember?
Yes,
totally.
But it's been a while since they've really, maybe America doesn't have talent anymore, because it's been a while since they've really kind of generated anyone that I've been that interested
different
in.
Different show.
You know what I mean.
Talent, different
I'm just
show.
Saying. I'm just saying. Maybe it just doesn't seem like there's a bunch of stars coming out of American Idol either. Like, you win. Could you even name the last two or three winners? You
no.
know?
Mm-mm. No.
There are guys who play guitar.
Right. Yes.
White guys who play guitar. I think that's who they get.
Here's how the rest of the ratings shook out for the week. Fox was number one. Then CBS came in second in ratings with total viewership. Survivor did very well for itself. Criminal Minds, still big. CSI, still big. Univision.
CBS cares.
Univision, third place. ABC, okay. And then and then NBC.
Right.
Yeah. Whitney, for example, on NBC, inched down to a series low of a 1.4 rating.
That's going away, that show, right?
I think they brought it back again.
I saw Chris D'Elia is on the new Bianca Kailik show.
Well, that's good news.
He was announced that he was on that, and he's her co-star on Whitney, so I just assumed it was going away.
Yeah. Speaking of casting, very excited because Mamie Gummer's got a new job.
Good.
Mamie Gummer, as you know, was our star of our beloved Emily Owens, M.D.
Talking about shows nobody watched.
How dare you?
I watched.
Talking about the lowest rated shows in TV history. Was it one of them?
Emily Owens, M.D. was a juggernaut.
Both times it aired?
You bastard. She's got a job starring opposite Rainn Wilson in his new series.
Ooh,
nice.
It's a new pilot for a CBS drama called Backstrom. Mamie would play a police detective whose backstory is that she's also a lesbian who just had a bad breakup with her partner. Rainn Wilson will be a detective who's overweight, offensive, and oftentimes irritable.
How do they not give Beer Mug that job?
Beer Mug, the TV show. While we're talking about TV, pretty cool episode of Hot in Cleveland in the works. You know how I feel about Hot in Cleveland.
Yes,
not
I do.
Not well.
Not well at all. But they're doing a Mary Tyler Moore Show reunion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Betty White, Georgia Engel are already on that show. Upcoming episode will also feature Valerie Harper, Cloris Leachman, and Mary Tyler Moore.
Well, they better film that one fast.
Oh. They must have already filmed it, right?
You bastard.
Well, who's
no, I'm
right?
just saying.
Yeah, they've already filmed it, so you get to see it soon. And more classic TV stars returning to the small screen. Bob Newhart is going to show up on an upcoming episode of Big Bang Theory. I love Bob.
Yeah.
He's a very talented guy. He's going to show up in an episode set to air during the May sweeps. He's going to play Professor Proton, the former host of a science show that Sheldon, played by Jim Parsons, loved as a kid. So it's like Bill Nye the Science Guy or Who was that guy? I kept telling him where his show was airing.
Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard, yeah.
I wonder if Mr. Proton's show was syndicated,
I
Ralph. What do you think?
Mr. Proton's show was syndicated.
Let's revisit,
Professor
Ralph
Proton.
Yes. Let's revisit. Do you mind, Ralph, if we revisit you insisting to your
that
boyhood
old
idol?
Man didn't know what show he was on.
This is Ralph on with Mr. Wizard a few years ago.
And it was also then syndicated all over the country as well, right?
Well, it wasn't syndicated. It was on a network.
Right, but the next version of the show?
It was live on the network.
Right, but then once that show ended, the next version of it, there was a syndicated version as well, right?
No. The next version of it was on Nickelodeon.
You would not let that go, Ralph.
he was an addle-brained old man by that point. He had no
idea. You're still convinced that you're right.
He didn't even know he was using a phone. He just thought he was talking into a megaphone. He thought he was a cheerleader again back in college. He doesn't know, man. Bob Newhart as Professor Proton. Look for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
he's in his 80s, by the way, and they're still lucky to have him.
83, and still as hilarious
crazy.
And sharp as ever. So that's good news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays in honor of our friend GMC Faux-Show.
Mm-hmm.
Are you so excited, Ralph, that we're going to have him on?
He's the best.
Talk about his his birthday.
Birthday. It's my candle-blowing birthday.
Remember, if you don't sing, though, you get no cake. You don't swag, you get no cake.
Celebrity birthdays. William Shatner, the captain, celebrates his 82nd birthday today. Good old Bill.
Talk about the Academy Awards.
Talk about being in your 80s and just being vibrant as ever.
Oh, the best.
Ridiculous amount of energy that guy's got. Wolf Blitzer, 65. Bob Costas is 61 years old today. Lena Olin from Alias, and the movie The Reader, 58 years old. And Matthew Modine. Whatever happened to Matthew Modine?
Matthew Modine.
Great question.
Matthew Modine. Full Metal Jacket. He was on Weeds for a little bit, but he was a big movie star for a minute there.
Yeah.
Sure was.
He was great. He was a very talented guy. I guess most recently we saw him in the last Batman movie. He played the chief of police there, right? 54 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's what I know. Friday morning on the Kevin Bean Show on KROQ means it's time for Ralph Garman in the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, welcome to my world, bitches. The world where nobody goes to see movies and yet still criticizes them.
It's quite a world.
It's a hard world. Only the strong survive. Let's start off with the weekend's movies by talking about the big comedy of the weekend. Inappropriate comedy. Inappropriate comedy.
Sounds like an awkward title. Who's behind that?
This is directed by Vince Offer. You may know Vince best as the guy who tries to sell you ShamWows.
Oh.
That Vince? Nothing bad could ever come from Germany, Vince?
You know, Germany, they make good stuff, Vince.
Oh, my gosh.
ShamWow's Vince has directed a comedy. It's inappropriate comedy. The premise is a computer tablet full of the world's most hilariously offensive apps breaks through the borders of political correctness, stirring up cultural anarchy. You remember that movie 43 or whatever that
yeah.
thing was?
Yeah, movie 43, right.
Yeah, it's like that. It's just
a bunch of stars.
And it's a bunch of sketches and stuff with people in it. Stars.
Okay.
It does star Rob Schneider. Okay, I get that. Rob Schneider, I can understand. Okay. Michelle Rodriguez, maybe she had an off day. I can understand. Maybe she wants to do something light. She's tired of being fast and furious, and she wants to sit down and do some jokes. I get that. Adrian Brody's also in this movie.
What?
Oscar winner Adrian Brody?
The pianist himself stars in inappropriate comedy. He plays a recurring character, which is a spoof of Clint Eastwood's character, Dirty Harry. Why so soon, I ask? Inappropriate comedy? Here's a scene from Inappropriate Comedy where Adrian Brody as Flirty Harry. That happened. That's real. Talks to his police captain.
I realize I'm leaving you with a mess all over your face. Sometimes you gotta swallow your pride, you know? Suck it up.
Oh, come on, Harry. These are just weird phrases you're using.
Well, what do you
now?
Want me to say? So I went in. Yeah, I went in deep, balls to the wall. But I unloaded into both of those
All right, stop. I told you.
It felt good.
I read the frickin' report.
see what you did there. Is
so that's happening. That's a movie that was made.
Talking about a police bust there.
Right.
But sometimes you can misinterpret what he's saying. Hello? This thing on?
There are other choices, though, right? We're not required to go see this if we want to go to
the movies. But he brought you the ShamWow. Don't you
well, there
Vince?
Is that.
Don't you owe Vince a little something?
Maybe if you got a free ShamWow with every movie ticket, maybe you'd go.
The animated film The Croods opens this weekend. The world's very first prehistoric family goes on a road trip. Oh, I love this film. When it was called The Flintstones! Nicolas Cage stars as one of the voices of The Croods, along with Ryan Reynolds, Emma Stone, and Catherine Keener.
Oh.
This film actually looks kind of charming and sort of cute. It's a prehistoric family, and they have prehistoric problems. Here's the family going cross country on a family trip.
Just think, our whole family packed together on a long, slow trip across country. We'll tell stories, we'll laugh, we'll become closer as a family. Do you want me to turn this family around? Do you? Because I will turn this family around so fast.
Dad, I gotta go.
Come on, you can hold it.
I don't think so.
I'm not dying on an empty stomach.
Rug.
We're all pretty tired.
We'll eat when we get there.
Isn't this fun? We're taking our first trip together.
See? They made prehistoric families. But they have just the same problems as modern families.
It looks
sure.
cute.
Oh, Lisa.
It
looks
sounds cute. Noisy.
Yeah, it is noisy.
This is loud. I love loud movies. Hey, for the pervs out there, Spring Breakers opens this weekend.
Now we're talking. Now I'm listening.
I bet you are, Uncle Creepy.
Yep.
Four college girls land in jail after robbing a restaurant in order to fund their spring break vacation. They find themselves bailed out by a drug and arms dealer played by James Franco, who wants them to do some dirty work. Vanessa Hudgens, Selena Gomez, and Ashley Benson star in Spring Breakers. Stop it. They're all like children, Bean. They're children in bikinis.
Well, they're adults, first of all. They're all over 18.
Yeah.
It's possible, by the way, despite how you're selling this movie as just a pervy dream, it's possible it's good, though, right? I'm hearing some very
for
good
some
things
of
about
the reviews,
certain people. For certain people, I'm sure
good.
It's very good.
Right.
For guys who own windowless vans and lurk outside junior high schools, I'm sure this is an excellent film. This is probably the best film of the year for your people, Bean. Here's some scenes from the clips from the trailer of Spring Breakers.
Some kids, they want to grow up, be president. Some kids want to be a doctor. You know, I just wanted to be bad.
Let's just get that cash and go on spring break.
They kicked me out of school. I thought that was great.
Spring break bitches.
I'm about making money.
Let's cause some trouble, man.
Y'all want to die tonight?
Spring break forever, bitches.
Yeah, spring break forever, bitches.
Spring break, get that tattoo,
bitches. James Franco is now just taking roles on a dare. He's taking them on a bet. What could I be worse cast as? Should I be the Wizard of Oz, or should I be a corn road wearing pimp drug dealer? Olympus has fallen. Olympus has fallen. Listen, I have a standing operational procedure here on the show where I don't go to see any of the movies.
Right.
Right.
However, I did see Olympus Has Fallen this week.
Oh, you did?
Yes. And Gerard Butler stars as a presidential guard, a Secret Service agent, who finds himself trapped inside the White House in the wake of a terrorist attack. They take the White House. That sequence in the film is pretty freaking remarkable. Maybe 20 minutes of the most tense movie going I've seen in a long time.
I hear that part is like vintage Die Hard.
It very much is Die Hard in the White House, and I mean that in the best sense. Aaron Eckhart plays the president. Morgan Freeman is the chief of staff. Angela Bassett also in the film. An amazing cast. And it has moments where you're like, okay, well, we've seen this before in a lot of these kind of films. However, an enormous amount of it is very entertaining. And in terms of like a popcorn action film, I found myself really enjoying this film. Here's Morgan Freeman getting a call from inside the White House in Olympus Has Fallen with some bad, bad news.
Mr. President?
Negative.
Jesus, Banning? Where are you?
In the Oval Office. There's a president in the bunker.
Mr. Speaker, I just have to say this. This is Mike Banning. Is this the same guy that was removed from the president's detail after the accident
right,
where we lost
right,
the first
right.
lady?
Well, you want to add in the White something? House I right suggest now? You get
how
to back
how do we know
straight?
We can trust this guy?
Banning is ex-Special Forces, Ranger Battalion. He will move mountains or die trying. I know him.
Does anyone else in this room have any intelligence coming out of the White House? And we have no choice.
Man, you slap Morgan Freeman in a movie and automatically just adds
Sure does.
A lot of gravitas to this film. He plays the Speaker of the House, actually. I misspoke. But he is the acting president while the president is kidnapped inside the White House. And as you expect, Gerard Butler plays an ass-kicking Secret Service agent who takes on this group of terrorist Koreans. And, again, a lot of this is sort of pat. We've sort of trod through this territory before. However, Antoine Foucault is an amazing action director. He brought you Training Day and other films. And it's just, there's a lot to be said for this film. There will be groaning moments where you go, oh, really? Okay. But for the most part, if you like shoot 'em ups like I do, you'll get a kick out of Olympus Has Fallen. And lastly, Admission opens up this weekend. Tina Fey and Paul Rudd. What a great comedy duo those two are. Paul Weitz directs this film. Tina plays an admissions officer who has to deal with the head of an alternative school, played by Paul Rudd. They're different people, and yet I wonder if they have a chance to fall in love. I think so. Here's Tina awkwardly expressing her feelings as Paul Rudd does the same.
You seem like a great guy too, and you can handle an axe, and you know you have a very nice nose in your face. But I have a long-term boyfriend, long-term, and you know we are happy. We're very happy. We're so happy. It's wow. Happy is one of those words that if you say it a lot, it loses its meaning. Like fork. Happy.
Happy. Yeah, these two guys look cute together. If you're looking for romantic comedy, Admission is your pick. That's what's coming out this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
There's a fun period here on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, with Imagine Dragons of Monsters and Men and Muse all on the way. Big show today. Gerard Butler's going to be on the program. I think you hit that, didn't you, Lisa?
Many times. What are you kidding? He'd never forget me.
Also, he forgets everyone. Are you kidding me? Also, Dexter Holland from The Offspring will be on talking about smart stuff. First, though, this is another in a long line of crazy stories from my home state of Maryland. Maryland has been in the news a couple times lately for things that have happened in schools. You recall a couple of weeks ago, there was that 7-year-old who chewed into his Pop-Tart while sitting around the lunch table into the shape of a gun and was suspended.
Oh, wow.
He made a gun out of a Pop-Tart basically by chewing the edges away, and they suspended him. So people were making fun of that. Then this school district in St. Mary's County has come up with a whole bunch of new rules, including birthday invitations, Lisa, should not be handed out at school because students who are not invited might get their feelings hurt.
They're saying that
schools should develop phone and email contact lists so that kids don't know who's invited to the parties and who's not. And that's
it's rough, but that's life.
But that's life. Exactly. Yeah. What were we talking about off the air yesterday? We live in a world where kids who lose in sporting events get trophies now because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings that somebody might be better at something than you are. Well, this is just the first in a long line of new rules from St. Mary's County Public Schools, and everybody's talking about it across the country. We asked Dave to line us somebody up, and I believe we have a spokesperson from the school district. Len Brocher joins us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Mr. Brocher, welcome, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure. I'm going to give you the opportunity to explain, but really, you can't hand out birthday invitations to your friends in class anymore?
Well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You've pretty much said it right there.
But not every kid who aren't invited to the party will obviously
have self-esteem issues. Their feelings will be hurt, and we're in the business of we're not in the business of damaging children. We're in the business of building children up.
But isn't that an opportunity for them to learn to be self-reliant?
It's an opportunity for them to learn that people don't like them. That's for sure.
You have your own friends.
We'd rather not teach them that lesson because we all learn that lesson later on in life. I know I did.
Okay, but you're not going to be friends with everybody in your school. You're going to have people that you're closer to than other people.
Because people are poo-poo heads, that's why. And they're mean, and they're stupid heads. And they don't invite you to their birthday party, and it sucks. And you end up sitting home alone, and you're not invited to the party just because you got pimples.
Is that a scar that you carry with you the rest of your life, Mr. Brocher?
Just a for instance, that's all.
Yeah. All right, what about this? Parents who visit the school should not walk with their child when he or she leaves the cafeteria. Why can't you be hanging out with your own children if you happen to be on campus doing business that day?
Because what about other kids who don't have parents? What about those kids? How do they feel
orphans?
When they see you with your parents? Maybe an orphan or a single single family parent family, you know, if they got a mom or a dad, they don't have both, and then they got to see you walk around, oh, look at you with your mom, aren't you special? No, you're not special. You're not special just because mom left, dad because dad drinks a lot. It's not special.
Wait, who said anything about dad drinking a lot? What's happening now,
that's
man?
That's just a for instance.
Also, let's see. Hugs. If a parent is visiting a school, you can hug your own child, but God forbid you should touch any other children, even if you're familiar with them. Even if they're friends of your kids, you can't high-five them or touch them or hug them or anything.
No touching. Don't touch the children. Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? You pervert. You'd like to touch the children.
No, but there's
just
nothing
like
wrong with...
my Boy Scout leader, yeah. My Scoutmaster, he likes to touch the children,
What's
too.
Happening?
There'll be no touching. No touching!
What? But if... Somebody if
my, for instance.
If I'm in school and my mom comes up and she sees my best friend who's also in school...
Oh, look at you with your mom. Aren't you special? Some of us don't have moms, okay?
But then wouldn't it be nice for that kid to have someone hug
to have a little hug. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, you get one hug, and then, you know what, no more hugs after that. Then you spend your whole lifetime without hugs.
Nobody can bring in baked goods anymore. Foods for celebrations should be limited to store-bought items
that contain
an ingredients list because
of food allergies. Just Oreos, that's all. Just nothing but Oreos. Let's keep it simple.
Teachers cannot be approached in person by parents to schedule meetings.
Now
that all has to go through email.
Don't touch the teachers. Don't approach the teachers. Don't feed the teachers. Don't just pretend they're not there.
But if you happen to see them in the hall, wouldn't it be nice to meet them and say, hey, I want to get together to talk about my kid?
Oh, so easy to say, isn't it? But no, you haven't broken up fist fights between parents and teachers before. I have, lady.
Really?
Until you've walked a mile in my shoes, why don't you just shut the hell up?
Len, it sounds like you've had a long road, and I apologize that it's been tough for you.
It's
but
brutal. Life is hard.
It sounds like life
running
is hard.
A school sucks.
Okay.
This is what I'd like people to do. Keep your kids home. That's what I'd like. Because dealing with kids is a pain in the ass.
Don't send them to school?
Oh, I got peanut allergies. Oh, he hit me. Oh, I got a pencil in my eye. Stop darts. Walk it off. God, I hate children, I hate parents, and I hate teachers.
You are a great spokesperson for the school district. Thank you for joining us, Len.
I want to own a 7-Eleven.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
There he is, GMC Faux Show, joins us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. This might be his first ever radio interview. I'm not sure, Ralph. I know we've been trying to get him on for a long time, but he's going to be talking to us.
I'm thinking Gillionaire has a little more flair to it.
I know. I don't get the GMC Faux Show. Unless he's already got like a multi-million dollar deal to sell GMC trucks, I don't get that name. I'll tell you that.
Maybe you can talk him into it.
We will advise him right after.
Do you speak
language? Sure. We're peas in a pot. Absolutely.
Yeah. Boys.
That is coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin DeBean Show. And, of course, in the 7 o'clock hour grand prize drawing, we'll send someone to see System of a Down in Milan, Italy. That is happening too. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. Here's Ralph.
It's the Rock's world. We're just living in it.
Okay.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, not only is he starring in the upcoming G.I. Joe Retaliation movie, which I'll be giving away tickets to in the next hour, just to keep you a little interested, but he's also working on a spinoff from his character from the Fast and Furious movies. Federal Marshal Luke Hobbs, apparently we get his own franchise.
All right.
Dwayne dropped that little bomb in an interview with the British magazine Empire. By the way, if you're a film fan and you're not subscribing to Empire, you're a fool. Boy, is that a great magazine.
Is it?
It's a good mag. Yeah.
Yeah. He's telling them that it could have been done. It could be done after the sixth film in the series or maybe after the next one. So I guess we have more Fast and Furious in our future. But they do plan to take the character out of that world and give him his own. So you got that going for you.
I was maybe the last person on Earth to see Zero Dark Thirty, Ralph. I just caught it recently. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed that it didn't end with The Rock, who's the one who informed the world that...
Tweeting out that
Osama bin Laden had been killed by the Navy SEALs. Yeah, I was disappointed that they left that out as the code of
a cameo.
Yeah, I thought so. Just at the end, just see him there with his sitting on his couch with his iPhone, tweeting to the world.
Rock will also be getting his own competition reality show on TNT this summer called The Hero. The show will premiere on June the 6th, and contestants will have to run through various challenges to see if they have what it takes to be a hero.
Okay.
Then, on TNT, immediately after that show, they're also debuting a new competition series called 72 Hours, where three competing teams will be dropped into the wilderness with only a bottle of water and a GPS tracking device. They have 3 days to find a briefcase full of cash and win $100,000. This sounds like Joe Schmo. I think there's That's not a real thing. You want to check out The History of the Eagles. It's a documentary that was on HBO recently with story of the band The Eagles. It was remarkable. It's going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray on April 30th. But the good news is, if you're an Eagles fan, they're going to be touring to support the release of that documentary, as well as a live at Capitol Center 1977 concert that will be available for the first time on Blu-ray and DVD. And also, while we're talking about movies and rock and roll, Nirvana sort of reunited in Dave Grohl's Sound City documentary with Paul McCartney as front man. They did that new song that they... I don't know. It had varying success. What do you think, Bean? I liked it.
Yeah, the Cubby Some Slack, the song with Paul McCartney. Yeah, I liked it a lot. It had tremendous energy, and it was so fun watching them, you know, work it out in the movie, too.
Dave says that a Nirvana song was also almost performed in the Sound City movie as well. He asked PJ Harvey to be in the movie and sing lead on Nirvana's Milk It from the In Utero album.
Now, why didn't that happen?
Well... apparently, P.J. Harvey had to back out at the last minute and couldn't perform, so Dave decided to trash the whole idea.
It has to be so difficult for Dave, and I feel like, and Ralph, we've had him on the show, you know, many times in the past, and we love the dude, but I feel like he's finally starting to be able to talk about Nirvana. It took a long time for him to even get to that point, to even acknowledge it. I mean, it was kind of almost like the word you didn't say around Dave Grohl for the longest time.
Yep.
But I'm sure, you know, it's an important part of his life with a lot of great music that he's associated with. I'm sure it's difficult for him to know the right tone to take with that material.
Well, in this interview, they ask him, you know, Paul McCartney does Beatles songs
in his solo act.
Why don't Foo Fighters ever do Nirvana songs? I mean, you got Pat Smear in the album, in the band as well.
Right.
You know, why don't you ever do Nirvana songs? And he said it's sacred ground. He just can't do that yet.
So. But, I mean, he deserves some of the credit for the success of that band. And it's
absolutely.
Not like, yeah, he's doing songs that he originally helped write and record. You know what I mean? It's his material. So I understand that he would take some criticism from some people if he's decided to do it. I'd love to hear it.
I would, too. And Amanda Bynes, she is nuts.
She's a hot mess is what she is.
She is nuts. She's begging everyone, leave me alone. I'm retired. Please don't look at me. I don't want any attention. And then she Instagrams pictures of herself wearing like camouflage and a wig and
with her cheeks pierced.
And then she starts tweeting like a lunatic. Past couple days, she's just been on a roll. First of all, she tweeted that she was proud she created the phrases LLY and LOLOLO for the internet. She's proud of those.
Okay.
She also claimed she likes Drake. That much she has made clear with tweets like, Drake is a hot fellow, you are who you date, and my favorite one, I want Drake to murder my vagina.
Is she dating him?
I have no idea.
I don't think she is. I don't think she knows him.
I'm betting not. I'm betting Drake is now just in a bunker somewhere, just hoping that Gerard Butler will come in and rescue him and get him away from the Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, she's melting down or something.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I got a front row seat and I've got my popcorn ready. Today's
You're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
Yes, you are. Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Modine is 54 years old today. Lena Olin celebrates her 58th birthday. Bob Costas is 61. News anchor Wolf Blitzer. Maybe the best name in all of news.
Yeah.
Wolf Blitzer. First name's Wolf. Cool are you?
It does sound like that's the name of the actor who should play Thor or something, not be a guy who's reading the news.
He's 65, and William Shatner, the legendary William Shatner, is 82 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. Great show still to come. We've already covered a lot of ground. Dexter Holland from The Offspring is going to be on with us later. We also got Gerard Butler from the new Olympus Has Fallen. And the UFC heavyweight champion of the world, Cain Velasquez, joins us live in studio in the 9 o'clock hour. That's coming up. All right, real quick before we get to our next guest. As you know, all this week we've been hooking you up with tickets to go see System of a Down at the Hollywood Bowl, their only U.S. performance in 2013. That show is going on sale today at 10 a.m. It's July 29th at the Hollywood Bowl. Everyone who won qualified for the grand prize drawing we're going to do right now to see who's going to see System of a Down in Milan, Italy, and, as we found out yesterday when the boys were here, have a meal with Shavo and John. Beer mug, you've got the winner's name. Who is it, please?
Jason Kasem Samram from San Dimas.
Really?
That's too many syllables.
Jason Kasem Samram.
Really?
Yes, that is his name.
All right. Congratulations. You are going to Milan, Italy, courtesy of the Kevin and Bean Show. So someone will be in touch.
Nice.
Lisa May, how excited are you?
Pretty damn excited. This is a long time coming.
Birthday. It's my candle blowing birthday. As you know, in recent weeks and months, ever since we first heard I'm Da Best, we have fallen in love with our next guest. He is a rapper that goes by the name GMC Fo Show, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, GMC Fo Show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, what's going on?
Well, we're going great. We're very excited to finally get you on. You are quite elusive. Our producer, Dave, has been trying a long time to get a hold of you, buddy.
Yeah, man, I'm not too big on talking.
That's what I understand. And this is what's a surprise, because a lot of people in the rap game, you know, they're doing everything they can to kind of get their name out there and their face out there. We had the hardest time with your first few videos even figuring out what your name was. Like, you are really on the down low.
Yeah, man, I'm just trying to hear. I'm out here moving in silence, that's all.
Understood. Yeah. All right. So what's your story? How long you've been rapping? What? Where are you from? What's going on? What's your deal?
All right, man. I'm from Detroit. Still in Detroit. It's cold outside. I've been rapping for about a couple years.
Uh huh. And are you making a living as a rapping, or is this something you're doing as a hobby?
I mean, I can make some money off of it every once in a while. But yeah.
Do you ever play live?
Yeah, I'm about to do this 420 show in North Carolina next month.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic. Now, I saw that your songs, I saw you got an album up on iTunes. You're selling a bunch of your stuff on Bandcamp. Are you able to move any product? Are people buying it?
Yeah, man. Making a lot of money off of that somehow.
That's fantastic. Now, how did you find out that we were such big fans of yours out here in L.A.?
Normally, I'm on the internet, man. I'm pretty much everywhere. I know what's going on. I see my name. I'm just looking into it.
Okay. Tell me how you ended up being the guy with so much swag.
Man, I would just say I was born with it. I mean, you always know you got the swag.
Right.
So I can't get it if I wasn't born with it?
Yeah, is it too late for Lisa?
I can't teach you. You can just learn. Well, I guess you could try to learn by example. Just watch me, but I can't give you any.
That's disappointing.
Now, I saw your interview in the OC Weekly where you said that you tattooed GWAS across your chest. Tell us why.
Oh, so that you can see it in the mirror, the rearview mirror. You know, like the ambulance always got the name in there backwards.
Right, so you put swag in reverse on so that the hoes can see it in their rearview mirrors when you're leaving.
Word, yep.
You have a lot of swag in a lot of your songs. In fact, there's one of your songs that I love, and here's just a taste of it.
Swag, 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 swag.
All right, so I feel like you've got swag covered. What's it like for you when you see somebody like little Justin Bieber putting swag in his songs? Does that just burn you up?
No, man. See, the thing about swag is, I mean, you just gotta have it. You know, Justin Bieber, he has to have a little bit of swag. I mean, have that many people following him. I can't hate on Justin Bieber, man.
So swag is big enough to go around that everybody can have a piece.
I mean, we all got our own unique swags. I mean, my aura is probably orange. His might be a little lime green or something. It's all good.
See, I didn't think about that. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Tell me about your friends that I see in these videos that you make.
Oh, we just lost one of them. He had a hernia. He's going for the real record. The longest person with a hernia. I'm serious. You guys think I'm playing? I'm serious. I'm just about to drop this track about missing him.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm sorry. You lost it because what? He has a hernia. He's
hernia,
world record?
Right?
Yeah.
We don't know what the world record was, but he was going for it. He didn't want to pay his bill at the hospital. Had a hernia. Swagged too hard. I have to drop the song for it. Not even joking. It's coming out in about 2 days.
And what's that song going to be called?
Am I delayed?
Yeah, don't say it. Don't say it. We can't say it on the radio. We'll have to wait and see it on the YouTube channel. All right. We'll wait and see it. We're talking to GMC Fo Show. And by the way, where did that name come from? Because we were saying earlier, if you don't already have a deal selling GMC trucks, it seems like you're giving it away.
No, see, you know, like, back in the day when you used to come up with names on, like, on Instant Messenger or something, you didn't want any numbers behind it.
Sure.
But at GMC for show, no number. I didn't have to put, like, a 12 or 18 or 96.
So, in other words, you just came up with something that nobody else was going to have that, so you could claim it as your own.
Yep, I just hit enter, and then that was it.
Gotcha. All right, let me ask you about a couple other songs, because you know we play them all here on K-Rock. Tell me a little bit about this one.
Girl, you got them pants.
Tell me about all these ladies in the dim pants video. Are they models that you hired, or do you live in a neighborhood with that many hotties?
Come on now, everybody wear them pants. You can find them pants on the street, the restaurant, Payless Shoes, anywhere, man. Hey, y'all want to be in this? Just want to be in this video? You're like, yeah, just have some drinks over.
I just get the impression that it must be a party at your house, GMC Faux Show. It just seems like a crazy video of you wearing oven mitts the kitchen being on fire could just break out at any time, right?
Real talk, I mean, we just over here partying at my mama's house.
All right, let me play a couple more clips. Here's another one that we haven't played much on K-Rock, but I love this, especially with the NBA Finals coming up. A little bit of your track about Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley. You know what's terrible? Haters with no swag crumple y'all up like a paper bag. Crunch. How come ding-dongs look like hockey pucks? Let's get dangerous. Darkwing Duck.
Okay, there you go. There's a Charles Barkley track. Now, are you just writing all the time? Are you a freestyle guy who comes up with a bunch of stuff off the top of your head, or what?
Oh, man, these words that I put these on the pad, man.
And you strike me as an incredibly prolific guy, though. It seems like you have a lot of songs, right?
Yeah. We're going for about 40 on this album.
Wow.
And what's the plan? I mean, what would you like to see happen with your career now?
Just do more live shows, be on TV, do commercials, direct stuff. I don't care, man. I'm gonna do everything. Whatever.
And you're there in Detroit. Have you gotten on Eminem's radar at all? Because he's pretty good about bringing up people behind him.
Oh, man, Eminem ain't said nothing to me.
Not yet. Okay. All right, before we let you go, GMC Faux Show, and again, we have a bunch of these videos up in the KevinandBean.com section of KRock.com. You can go check them out. You really should. You're really only getting half the act if you hear the songs. You've got to see these videos because they're tremendous. But do you have team? Do you have professionals, people that are working to try to kind of get the music and the message out there, GMC Faux Show?
No, man, I just let the people do what they want. They want to hear it, they'll hear it. It's that simple to me.
All right, so you're just making the songs, and people can find you on YouTube, and just you'll take it every day at a time, see how it comes.
Yep.
All right.
Sounds like a good plan.
Sounds great. You got any kind of swag message for the Kevin and Bean listeners as we head into the weekend before we say goodbye, sir?
No, go forth and swag hard. That's all I can say.
Go forth and swag hard indeed. GMC Faux Show, you the best, man. Thanks for coming on today. We enjoyed talking to you. That is the band known as Dramarama here on K-Rock. They, by the way, were on the bill for the first ever K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. How about that? You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. We talked briefly at the start of yesterday's show about extreme proposals. It's not enough to ask a woman to marry you anymore. Now it has to be bigger than that.
Well, as you point out, it's a story to tell, right?
It's a story to tell, exactly. In fact, we talked about a couple yesterday, and now we have the audio of their appearance on Good Morning America. Check this out, and then we're going to be taking your calls on extreme proposals here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
For Natalia Lavrishin, it was just another date night with her boyfriend Josh Ogle until...
What's going on?
The music came on.
I didn't realize what was happening until I finally grabbed the ring and put it on my finger.
Shortly after slipping on the ring, Josh swept his new bride-to-be off in a vintage car.
Okay, so for those keeping track, so far he's rented a rooftop garden, hired musicians to serenade them, and now has rented an antique car to head off to dinner. But wait, there's more.
To a restaurant where they were wined and dined by a celebrity chef before jetting off to Europe for a post-proposal celebration.
Now,
oh my God.
What's left for the rest of their lives after they've done everything in the world in one date, right? This is to get engaged.
Are they broke now? Do they have any money for a wedding?
This isn't the honeymoon, by the way. This isn't we're saving up and going to Europe on the honeymoon. This is we're going to Europe to celebrate that we just got engaged.
It's very much in my character, and I think in our relationship, for me to try to do things that are like goofy and clever and catch her by surprise.
But now, simply getting down on one knee is a thing of the past. And extreme proposals like rooftop rendezvous and Bollywood flash mobs...
Yep.
Are taking over the proposal scene. Some, like these two couples, even hiring film crews to document the engagement.
I shouldn't need a film crew. I shouldn't need a choreographer. I don't need a flash mob.
I would like a Bollywood flash mob, though. I see nothing wrong with that.
How did I'm asking you to be my wife suddenly become not enough? What's happening, people?
Well,
it's on YouTube? I want to hear from the Kevin and Bean listeners who have some proposal stories, because I am sure, and I know that, you know, for some people, it's their thing. They want to do the most awesome thing that's ever been done, and we'll try not to judge. But I want to hear if you had an incredibly creative or expensive proposal. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Toll-free number 1-800-520-1067. And by the way, let's hear a little bit more about this Bollywood couple, and then let's find out how much the guy who ended up taking his new fiancée to Europe, let's find out how much that one night cost him coming up here.
With the advent of social media, things like Facebook and YouTube, guys are thinking outside of the box. It's no longer lame dinner proposals. It's things that are personal and unique to their love story.
By the way, that's the one of the two sentences in this story that cuts me the deepest. It's no longer lame dinner proposals. Didn't that used to be the dream, was to go out to dinner and have him slide a ring across the table at a nice place?
Yes, and everybody in the restaurant applauds, and it's a nice moment.
That used to be enough. Now, if it's a proposal, don't even bother asking me to marry you if it's only going to be at dinner.
This way you actually describe me and who I am.
It was just like a dream come true for any Indian girl. It was Bollywood, it was dancing, it was music, everything we grew up with.
I want to marry you.
And while these couples can now bank on fond memories, for many it took a trip to one to pay for it.
Here we go.
It cost Salman Ali $2,000 to hire a choreographer for his flash mob in Times Square. As for Josh, all in all, the engagement ring, rooftop rental, vintage car rental, celebrity chef dinner, and a trip to Europe cost him a whopping $45,000.
$45,000 to get engaged, kids.
What the what?
Oh, you.
That's more than a new car.
Going all out for this proposal, was it worth it?
The guy doesn't usually have tons of control over what happens at the wedding. I do have all the control over what happens at the proposal.
All right. Now I want him dead.
So it's a control issue.
Now I want him dead, because he's like, hey, she gets to plan the wedding. I get to plan the proposal. It's all about me. Hey, look at me. How awesome I am. Oh,
well, I think a lot of this is that. How awesome am I? And they're really dramatic people that just want attention. Don't you think? Because it should be a moment between two people.
That's what I think, too. But all of a sudden, you have to have hundreds of people dancing involved. I don't understand
it. I still do like the Bollywood thing.
You still wish you had a flash mob, right?
I love that.
So we want to hear your stories. What happened that was creative or expensive? I want to find out how crazy this is with the Kevin and Bean listeners. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. We'll take your calls immediately right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kick. Talking about this guy from New York who just spent $45,000 on his wedding proposal to his now fiance. By the way, to be fair, almost half of that was for the ring, $21,000 for the ring.
Okay.
So it's not like they've lost that. But, you know, with the rooftop rental and the car and everything else. So we're taking your calls on extreme proposals is what they're calling it. Here's a link that I just was sent from a listener named German. Here's my proposal 12 years ago at a Pennywise show. And he sent a link, which I will not click on. But maybe that's the point. Maybe it has to be on YouTube or it doesn't count anymore.
That's kind of the world we live in.
Maybe that's the souvenir. My proposal, it can't just be I tell my friends how it went. I have to have a link for YouTube that I can send them so they can actually see the proposal. Maybe that's where we're at. So we're taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Robert, because he did have a flash mob in his proposal. So Robert is your kind of guy, and he is on line 7, and he joins us here on K-Rock. Good morning, Robert. What's going on?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
So what'd you do? How long ago was this proposal?
It was actually last month, the day after Valentine's Day.
Oh, last month.
Okay. All right. So you're exactly what we're talking about. You're talking about this new breed of people who have to have an extreme proposal. It's not enough to just be alone and ask a question anymore. All right. What'd you do?
So I initially just started out with a lame dinner proposal. That's what I wanted to do. And then I decided, you know what? Let's do a scavenger hunt. And then I said later on, let's do a flash mob as well. No, make it something super memorable. So I initially set up a scavenger hunt where she went to a lot of places that were very significant to us, to our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, she was supposed to meet us at a dinner proposal, and it was just supposed to be me and her. And so when we met at Universal Studios, City Walk, and I walked with her, picked her up, and there was already a crowd formed for a performance. And so she's like, oh, what's this? What's going on? And as I walked into the circle, all of a sudden the music started playing and a flash mob starts happening. And at the end of it, tears in her eyes, family all around, everybody crying and happy. And she said yes.
All right. I'm not saying that that wasn't a great night. I'm not saying that it wasn't fun and memorable and she'll love you forever. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm trying to get to why you thought it wouldn't be enough that it was the night she was being proposed marriage. Why did you think that alone wouldn't be enough to make the night memorable?
Well, why not go the extra mile? Why not do something that much more special for her? I mean, you're only supposed to do this once in your life. I mean, obviously...
Well, that's BS, but anyway.
Yeah, you'll be doing it again in 3 to 5 years, my friend. I got news for you. All right, Robert, thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
You know what I think it is, Bean, partly, is that so many couples have been together a while. They spend the night at each other's house. They know they're going to get married. Like, they've kind mm-hmm. of already talked about it. So it's not a big surprise in a restaurant anymore. And maybe that's why people go the extra mile.
Yeah, maybe. Charles writes in, I flash mobbed my girlfriend. It was our anniversary. We're both dancers. I asked our friends who were dancers to help me out. It took us 2 months to plan, 5 days of practice. She didn't suspect anything. She thought we were just going to a regular dance practice with my friends to prep for a performance. Little did she know she was getting engaged that night after 7 years of being together. So yeah. Maybe that's what you're talking about. All right, let's see what else we got here. We're looking for expensive or unusual. Let's try Jennifer. She is on line 2 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about extreme proposals. Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
What happened?
Well, basically, the day started off at the Museum of Natural History in New York. We went to New York for his 30th birthday. He wanted to do something big, so I had no idea that he had this plan. And anyways, he had a decoy actually lead us from the museum to the Shakespeare Garden in Central Park, where as we came in a corner, there was a wooden box on the ground with our names carved on it and all kinds of stuff. And anyways, when I opened it, two musicians came up and started singing my favorite U2 song, All I Want Is You. And then we had two or three other backup singers, and then a guy at the tambourine came up. All in all, it was about 6 different musicians singing around us, you know, and so I'm crying, obviously, and then he gets down on one knee and pulls out a little turquoise box, and all in all, it ended up being a $25,000 proposal, including the videographers and the photographers that he had staged in the bushes to capture.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Does that include the price of the ring?
Yeah, that does.
That's a big night. Now, when you look back on it, it sounds like you're still, you know, tearing up over it. It was a great night. It was perfect for you guys, right?
Yeah, it was recent. We're set to be engaged in August, actually. Kind of a long
married in August.
Would
you have been disappointed if it had been something more traditional and not extreme?
Absolutely not. No, but he wanted to, quote, give me the best proposal story of anybody that I know.
Well, I think you got that.
It sounds like a pretty good story.
You did a good job. Yeah.
Now, is there any part, let me ask both of you girls this, is there any part of this is a private moment? Does that exist anymore? Like it's between the two of you to be together and look in each other's eyes and be happy and this is our moment and it's special and it's only us. Why? I mean, does it take anything away from it to have all those other people standing around, Jennifer?
Yeah, I completely agree, but if he was thinking about, he was watching videos and he saw flash mobs and all kinds of things, and he knew that if he did that, it that would have been way too much. I'm normally a very shy person, but this was actually very intimate. It was raining that day, you know, light drizzle. We're surrounded in this really, really intimate garden, you know, Shakespeare Garden.
But you had a guy with a tambourine playing at your proposal.
Yeah, it was a bit much, but, you know,
it was kind of romantic, though.
All right.
You guys were awesome.
Thank you for the call. Thank mm-hmm. you. And by the way, all Jennifers are hot, too, so he did well snagging you. Congratulations on your upcoming wedding. So I guess that's what we've learned, is if it's not on YouTube, it doesn't count. So suck it, love. How did you propose to Mrs. Garman, Ralph?
I waited for her to come home from work. Mm-hmm. And when she got to the house, I had, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 dozen roses around the room.
Boring. Was it on YouTube?
And I was wearing a suit, and I had the karaoke machine cranked up, and I sang to her All the Way by Frank Sinatra.
Boring.
Was there a flash mob?
And I got down on my knee and proposed the ring.
That's very romantic.
It was very nice.
Were there 100,000 people there to see it with you?
Why do you hate love, Bean?
My ex-husband.
Why do you hate love?
My ex-husband got up to pee in the middle of the night and came back and said, you know, we've been together a long time. I think we should get married.
It's like New Girl. Are we going to do this thing?
Yeah, it was right, just exactly. Like that. Yeah.
All right, real live big-time movie star Gerard Butler joins us right after the top of the hour here on the world-famous K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for the show Biz Beat at 7:55.
Mike Banning. He's Mike Banning.
He is Mike Banning. That's
that
right.
Is a
he's
man's
Secret Service.
Name, Mike Banning.
Sure is.
Yeah. It's his name, and the new Olympus has fallen. Before I get to the showbiz news, how about some tickets to a very cool event? K-Rock advanced screening of G.I. Joe. Yeah.
Yo, Joe!
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe.
A real American hero.
It's the K-Rock advanced screening of G.I. Joe Retaliation, March the 26th at AMC Burbank. It's in theaters everywhere, March the 28th, by the way. If you'd like to go to the advanced screening, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers who get through will get a pair of tickets to see G.I. Joe Retaliation. By the way, why don't they use that theme song for the movies? You don't hear that. Maybe there's some like instrumental version or something, but that's a song right there. That's a freaking song.
I bet Mike Banning would like that
Mike
song.
Mike Banning would love that song. Yo, Joe! Speaking of my childhood, last night I got to hang out with a gentleman named Adam West. I spent the evening with
did?
Adam West.
What? What's this all about?
I spent the night with Adam West. I've waited my whole life to say those words.
What were you guys doing?
We were at a very cool event that was being thrown by Junk Food T-shirts. Are you familiar with the Junk Food T-shirts?
Mm-mm.
They are it's the best. They do a lot of very cool retro designs for their T-shirts, and the fabric is that soft, really nice
fabric.
I love
that.
Yeah. You know? So they've had a long run of DC Comics shirts and everything, but for the first time ever, now thanks to this new licensing agreement, they can finally release Batman 1966 Batman T-shirts with the images of Adam West
and cool.
All the villains and that kind of stuff. So there was a big party last night to launch not only that, but all of the new 1966 Batman merchandise that's going to flood the market this year because they finally had come to terms for this licensing agreement. So Adam was there to help celebrate, and they invited me down there, and I went to show up. And they had a replica of the Batcave, and they had original props from the show, and they had Bam, Pow, and Zam cut-themed cocktails. And it was this really very cool event.
Who's Adam West?
How dare you! So Adam sends his best to everybody.
Says, that sounds awesome.
Guys. It was a really fun event last night. And so I wanted to thank the people at Warner Brothers and DC and Junk Food for putting it together and for having me come down. It was so funny because, you know, it's embarrassing because I show up at some of these things. And sometimes they're, service entrance in the rear. And sometimes they're, why don't you walk the red carpet? Now, either one is embarrassing to me. You know?
You don't really want to
I don't
want to
be treated like
carpet.
A nobody, but I don't want to be treated like somebody either. Right, I wish there was something in between. So they had me walk the red carpet. It's just embarrassing because nobody knows who I am.
You know, everyone's going, who's that guy?
Exactly. They're taking their pictures and they're whispering to each other as they're taking them. Who is that guy?
Yeah.
Just tell them you're Adam West's valet.
I should. His faithful butler, Alfred.
Right.
So as I was walking the red carpet, Adam arrived. And he started working the other end of the red carpet. And we met in the middle and shook hands. And everybody was taking pictures of that moment as if I was somebody. So I had that moment captured. But
hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
No. More than you could possibly know. So anyway, I want to thank everybody who made that possible. It was a good time. A lot of K-Rock listeners were there, too. So it was
awesome.
Fun to meet them. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. Oh, Lindsay. Lindsay's got a new boyfriend.
She does.
Yeah, Avi Snow is his name. Oh, Avi Snow. She loves that snow.
Mm-hmm.
A club promoter and drummer.
Perfect.
In the right.
Ideal for her. Put her in a lot of good environments.
Two of her favorite things. He's a drummer in a band called City of the Sun. Bean, are you familiar? You're
nope.
A musical expert.
Do not know them.
If
not
Bean
heard of them.
Doesn't know who they are, they don't exist.
That's
what
true.
I like to say. Apparently, friends are saying they are in the early stages of their relationship. I think Avi may not want to get too attached to Lindsay, since she has to be locked down in rehab for the next 90 days in the very near future. But they're just hot and heavy and just couldn't be happier.
I, myself, am a drummer.
Well, that's right. Maybe Beer Mug's got a shot with her. Kim Kardashian.
I'm sorry, who?
Porn star Kim Kardashian sat through a grueling 9-hour deposition this week for her divorce case against Chris Humphries.
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Claiming she was truly in love was Chris Humphries when they said I do back in August of 2011.
Well, she sure changed her mind in a hurry then.
She sure did. 72 days later, she was divorced. Chris is still claiming that she defrauded him just to boost the show's ratings of her reality show. And a producer admitted the proposal scene was reshot because Kim didn't like her reaction. But everyone heads to court for the trial in early May, so...
Not my fault.
We're going to have a good time watching that travesty. And since we're talking about travesties, Amanda Bynes is just... Someone get her some help quickly. If you read her... You should follow her on Twitter just because she's nuts.
You know, I should.
She is. She's very entertaining. Lately, she's had a real attraction to Drake, performer Drake. Keeps tweeting about Drake a lot. Drake is a hot fellow, was one tweet. And then, of course, my favorite, I want Drake to murder my vagina. her most recent tweet. So, that's romantic. That'd be used in a proposal.
Now, let me ask you this, Ralph.
I would not want to murder her vagina.
No. Okay. So, if you're Drake, you pass.
I'm passing.
Too much crazy?
All the crazy.
Okay.
No one's crazier.
Okay.
Lindsay looks reasonable and rational in comparison. Yeah.
And she's not hot enough to be that crazy.
No.
Gotcha.
No. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matthew Modine. Full Metal Jacket, of course, on Weeds recently in the most recent Batman movie, 54 years old. Lena Olin is 58. Bob Costas turned 61 years old today. Wolf Blitzer is 65. And actor William Shatner, 82 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
In theaters, we've been talking about this movie all day long, finally coming out today. We've been hearing about it a long time. It's called Olympus Has Fallen. Check this out.
The president's in the bunker.
He's being held hostage.
What do they want?
We're trying to find out.
Who's in charge?
Trumbull. Are there any survivors with you?
Negative, sir. They wiped us out. They have command of room in the hallways with enough explosives to take out an army. Looks like the doors and windows are rigged with C4 explosives. Who knows what other tricks they have up their sleeves? Any team coming in is going to be ringing the front doorbell pretty loud.
Yeah, that's a bad day at work there for Secret Service agent Mike Banning, who is played by Gerard Butler, who joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Butler, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I was just thinking, actually, that's a great day at work for Mike Banning, because finally he's getting a chance to do what he was trained to do.
Nothing makes him happier than kicking some bad guy ass, does it?
Kicking some bad terrorist ass, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I have found it fascinating, you know, coming out with a movie like this in difficult political times, especially when there are real troubles in the world and have been for a number of years now, it is different. You're walking a fine line. But I think it's really interesting that what you've been talking about in interviews about how these guys, these agents on the ground, how they really do take it personally. They're very patriotic. They love their country. And they really hate those guys on the other side, right?
Well, yeah, because they've had to personally deal with them and be, you know, the kind of tip end of the spear, and they've had to, you know, witness a lot of horrors. I mean, two of the agents that were training us, one had been slashed down his throat, one was shot, and they've seen a lot of their friends and allies killed. And essentially, they're protecting people who are, you know, they're being fought against by people who are trying to kill them, or the ones they love, or their fellow countrymen. So, you know, we all, when we see a terrorist attack or hear of one, especially if it's on American soil, you know the reaction that we have.
Yeah, Gerard, I had a chance to see the film, and I was thinking that in the world we live in, when you see the attack on the White House, which, by the way, is a remarkable sequence in film, it's so intense, it really does raise the stakes, and you get so invested as a viewer. You really want these guys to pay, and your character is so cathartic for us.
Well, you know, that's well said. That's how I felt about it as well, because 9/11 was such a weird situation, because when the Twin Towers fell, there was nobody left, and we were all furious, and you needed to do something, but there was kind of nowhere to strike out.
Because there wasn't an army on the ground that was invading that we could send our army to fight back. I mean, it was a different kind of enemy.
Absolutely, and we're examining a new situation where they're actually now in the White House as a hostage situation. They are absolutely brutal and will do nothing to stop it, you know, to get the demands that they want. And those demands are very dangerous, and they're executing hostages. And you've again seen those men and women who serve us being slaughtered. And now you have a chance to take action back. So, yeah, in a lot of ways, it's very cathartic. And the movie's really rousing. I mean, when you're in I've been to a few screenings around the country, and it's incredible how people get into it.
Was it difficult? I know that, you know, again, it's a movie and it's supposed to be entertainment first and foremost, but you're also trying to be realistic in a lot of areas. Is it believable that a white guy could be the president of the United States?
Well, that's where we're getting criticized a lot for that. I mean, I think we made a
I mean, Aaron Eckhart, you know, come on. He's a white dude. That is
stupid.
and ugly.
But in your defense, Morgan Freeman does step in and become the acting president.
We saved ourselves there.
Exactly.
We grabbed Morgan at the last minute and said, buddy, do us a favor, man. We messed up big time.
I think we are at the point in America, by the way, that in the event of actual emergencies, we just feel better with Morgan Freeman somehow being in charge. Don't you guys?
Well, we obviously did. That's why we put him there.
But I'll tell you, I'd like Aaron Eckhart to be my president, too. He seems like a real stand-up guy in this film.
No, he is. I mean, he's brilliant in the film. And it was kind of, to me, what this film means to me is that, you know, at the end of the day, if you look at it from above, anything you throw at anybody, really, but especially in America, they're only going to unite and stand up stronger in their darkest hour. And that's what this movie is about. I mean, yeah, I play the hero inside the White House, but everybody's a hero. It brings out that tenacity and that honor in everybody. And they all have to work together and forget the differences, because it's now gone way past any minor squabblings. This is now good against evil.
And even the hostages in the bunker, Gerard, the president and Melissa Leo as the Secretary of State, they all have their moments of heroism, too, where you're really sort of proud of them.
Absolutely. That's why I'm saying the audiences so get into it. They're applauding Angela Bassett and her good decisions, you know, in the crisis room, and Melissa Leo when she takes a beating. I mean, we don't spare anything in this movie, but at the same time, because it's realistic and because we got such great actors like Morgan and Aaron and Angela and Melissa Leo and Dylan McDermott, you're in there with them. So it becomes a very emotional ride as well, because we tried to make this attack and the standoff afterwards and even the international fallout is believable as possible, in as much as you can, in an action movie that you want to keep exciting and suspenseful and entertaining.
Speaking of realistic, is there really a bunker underneath the White House?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, the PEOC. It's something, Emergency Operations Center.
Presidential Emergency Operations Center, yeah.
Yes, that's it. Well done. You should be the production designer on this movie.
Well, I do. Yeah. I feel like the summer is here. When I started seeing the trailers for Olympus Has Fallen, I thought, this looks like a Memorial Day weekend movie. You know what I mean? It looks like it's everything we're looking for this time of year when it's getting warm out, and it just looks like a lot of fun. And like you mentioned, a fantastic cast. And Ralph, you liked it a lot, right?
I did. I really enjoyed it, Gerard. I got to tell you, it is a great thrill ride, but you do get emotionally invested more so than you do with a lot of action movies.
We'll all walk out screaming, USA! That's USA! Right. Olympusmovie.com is where you go. You can follow it on Twitter at Olympus Movie or at Gerard Butler. Glad we got a chance to catch up with you again, man. Thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you, guys. That was fun.
Thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. Our friend Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show has been on vacation this week. Lisa, what did you see on Facebook? What's he up to today?
Well, we know he's in Mexico, and I saw a picture of him yesterday. He was sitting in like a lounge chair out. It looked like outside by a pool with this huge plate of ice cream with like chocolate syrup all over it and stuff, just stuffing his face.
Kevin still eats like he's five, so I'm sure he's having a fantastic vacation. But we always want to know what kind of plans the monkey has when he's gone for a week, because he does seem to live a pretty exotic life. So I believe from Mexico we have his assistant Linus on the line. Linus, welcome back. How are you?
Hola.
Hola, Linus. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes. You're a little low today. You're in Mexico, right?
Yes. Must be a bad connection. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
The woman.
No. It's
obviously, without Kevin at the Kevin and Bean Show, there you're not even able to run your show properly. As always suspected, the other one and the woman.
We've still got the beer mug factor. You got to understand that, Linus. Well, listen. How are you guys? You and the Kevin and his wife and the kids. How's everybody enjoying vacation?
Well, it's no vacation for me with Kevin at the Kevin and Bean Show under my personal responsibility. It is never a vacation, because his vacation is my crunch time. It's my work time to make sure that he's happy, that he's healthy, that he's well taken care of, because Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show has a very important lifestyle that needs to be maintained, and that's what my job is as assistant to Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show.
I just thought, you know, he's staying in a nice resort or something in Mexico. They would pretty much take care of that. You don't really have to worry about, you know.
A five-star resort is not capable of creating the kind of luxury that Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show needs to be happy.
Really?
Wow. Pale in comparison to what his needs are. Mrs. Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show, when we got to the event, she said, at the resort, she said her feet are not to touch the ground while she's in Mexico.
Oh.
So I've had to hire those small children who sell the chiclets on the street to run in front of her so she can step on them as she walks along the street.
Oh, no.
My God.
That seems like a lot of trouble for you, Lytus.
It is a lot. It's more trouble for them than it is for me, actually.
Yeah, no fun for them.
A couple of the children lie there, and she steps on them, and then they run in front of the other ones, and they just, like, it's a long-going process, but she ends up wearing children as shoes, is what I'm basically saying.
See. And so Lisa saw this photo of Kevin. Does that sound consistent with what you've been seeing, just eating, like, a gallon of ice cream?
That's the only thing he's eaten while here in Mexico. Kevin of Kevin Bean Show has insisted his entire diet may be made up of nothing but ice cream.
Just ice cream, okay.
And what makes it more difficult is he insists on eating it out of the skull of a drug lord.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. So did you have to kill a drug lord to get
the
skull?
I've had to go out there. I've had to slay several Mexican drug lords myself, murder them, decapitate them, and then boil their heads until the skin and brains come out, and I'm able to bleach the skull into a lovely ice cream ball for Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show.
It does sometimes seem like he's just playing with you, like he's just going out of his way to make your life difficult.
He's an artist. He has needs that must be met. In order to give him his creative juices and be able to recharge his creative batteries, he needs to have these needs met. Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show is a very sensitive person, and you, the other one, nor you, the woman, would understand that.
Do have names, Lattice. We've been talking to you for a long time. I'm Bean, and she's Lisa.
La, 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 la. I can't hear you. I'm too busy trying to find some virgins, because Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show has decided that snorting cocaine is no longer acceptable to him. He needs the coca leaves chewed up by virgins, and he needs to suck the saliva out of their mouth.
Oh, my God.
That seems like kind of a waste of good virgins, if you want my opinion.
Well, not if you've ever tasted the coca spit. Delicious.
Oh, really?
And of course, I do have to go also because Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show is not happy with sand on his beach. He likes me to get several bars of gold and a cheese grater and make him a small patch of gold dust to lay on.
Really? He has to actually physically lay on gold dust.
He must be laying on gold dust or else he just doesn't feel like Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show. And if he doesn't feel like Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show, then I'm not doing my job, the other one and the woman.
No, that does sound like a lose all around. Well, that's an extreme vacation, Lytus. I hope that you're able to...
For you, it's extreme. For Kevin of the Kevin DeBean Show, it's just life.
I hope that you are able to survive it and get some rest soon. Thank you for talking to us.
I'm happy to do it.
160 is happening in Las Vegas in May, and the main attraction is going to be UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez, who is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin DeBean Show. I insist that you throw down with your beer mug. I insist that you say the things to his face that you've been saying about him all morning long off the air.
But you remember what you told me earlier. You said you were going to kick his ass, so.
Nice try, by the way. Okay. When he comes in, you're the one he's going to be looking at, not me. First, though, I don't consider myself super smart, but I am a curious person, and I do try to be, I am interested in a lot of topics, and I do try to read about a lot of things because I am a curious person. I'm interested in a lot of things. And I get a lot of guff for dropping out of college, and I still hear about it from my dad. I only went to 2 years of college, and Ralph still makes fun of me for that. But, I felt like at the time I made the right choice in that I decided I wanted to be in radio, and I've carved out a career, and I've managed to get by without having a college education. It's been fine for me. But I'm interested in a lot of different things. I love space stuff, for instance. I'm always interested in astronomy stuff. There are some science things that I'm really interested in, like the Large Hadron Collider. I can't read enough about that. I think that's cool. And I think I have at least a working knowledge of a lot of subjects, Lisa.
I think that's all very true. You are certainly the poster child for you don't have to go to college to be a smart, curious person.
Now, I say all that to say this. I am the dumbest human that ever lived. Because The Offspring tweeted the other day from Dexter Holland about a paper that he had just written. Because, you know, he's the king of continuing education. Oh, we're going to talk to Dexter in 1 minute here and find out how many goddamn degrees this guy needs. But the name of the paper is The Identification of Human Micro-RNA-like Sequences Embedded Within the Protein-Encoding Genes of the Human Immunodeficiency Virus. That's the name of the paper. Now, I'm already lost. And that's just the title of the paper,
yeah,
okay?
I have no idea what that means.
This thing is 10 pages long, and it's the densest thing I've ever tried to read. Introduction. MicroRNAs are highly conserved, naturally occurring 18 to 22 nucleotides long, non-coding RNA molecules that are processed from long precursor transcripts. Blah, 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 blah. What's he even talking about here? What? If I don't even forget not understanding the conclusion, the point of the experiment, I don't even know what the topic is. Are we talking about making genetic bananas here, or are we talking about saving lives? I don't even know. So I asked producer Dave, could you please get Dexter on the phone with us? Because I really, I don't like walking through life feeling like the dumbest guy in the room. Dexter, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Well, I'm depressed. Dexter, can I be honest? I'm sad today.
I heard. I know. It sounds complicated.
It is complicated. First of all, where I kind of made a joke about you can't stop getting degrees, but what's going on with you in school right now?
I know. You know, I was bored. I wanted something else to do, you know, so I wrote a paper.
Have you graduated from college yet?
I've graduated, and I have a master's, and I'm working on a doctorate right now.
Oh, you're working on a doctorate. And this is something that you've been doing kind of on and off over the last several years in between jobs, right?
Yes, exactly.
And where are you in the process right now?
I have to finish my dissertation, which means I'm kind of close, but that's a big job, so I'm probably still a year or two out.
Is that what this paper is in front of me? Is this your dissertation or part of it?
It's like the baby step to the dissertation.
This isn't even the final thing? You still have to do more after this?
It's the introduction, yeah.
Not the intro.
You tweeted what I did on my summer vacation. How long did this paper take you from start to finish?
I worked on it for about a year, actually, altogether, off and on, in between tours and stuff.
Oh, my God. And can you explain in layman's terms what it is you set out to do or prove here?
Yeah, actually, it's not as bad as it sounds. I'm involved in HIV research, right? And HIV, of course, is the virus that causes AIDS. And what I'm focusing on is microRNAs. MicroRNAs are small molecules that we all have in our cells. And I'll keep this brief. And scientists have only discovered these over the last 10 years or so. And it turns out that microRNAs are involved in regular cell processes, but we found that they're also involved in diseases such as AIDS or cancer and stuff. So it's sort of like a new angle of, in a way that we can possibly fight these diseases. And it's sort of in the petri dish stage, but it kind of looks promising.
So what is it you're hoping to prove with this paper?
Right. Well, it looks like the virus might actually be mimicking human microRNAs as a way to evade the immune response of people. So that's a pretty interesting idea that this could happen. But let me break it down even more. It's like when you're trying to fight a disease, you know, imagine a virus is like a car, right? You want to break the car before it runs you over. And there's a lot of ways you can break a car. You can disconnect the battery. You can slash the tire. So
what I'm trying to do is
slash the tires of AIDS.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I got it. That's what you should have called the paper, Dexter. I'm trying to slash the tires of AIDS. Now I would have got that. All right. So what's your involvement? I see that you've got some other people on the paper, Jonathan Wong, Meng Li, Soraya Rashid. What are all those people doing in addition to you?
Right. Well, you have a professor who's sort of your boss. That's Dr. Rashid, and she's been great to me. And there's other graduate students in the lab, and they all sort of contributed some of the computer work, basically.
Okay, and is this an actual hands-on lab experiment where you go in and you're looking at blood under a microscope?
That's what I'm going to be doing, yeah. This was sort of a computer thing first, and then I'm going to get into it a little bit more.
And this paper that you put out, is this something that you had to help write for a grade? Is this an assignment? I'm sorry if these are dumb questions, but I don't know anything about this. You know, this level of education is just so beyond my experience, Dexter.
Well, writing a dissertation means you write a paper that has to be good enough to get published in a journal. And this was sort of like a baby paper, sort of like an introduction as a way for me to get some experience. And then I'll write the real thing soon.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you're going to clean this mess up. Thank God you're going to put some roll up your sleeves and put some real work into it.
I know.
Did you get a grade on this?
Well, it got accepted.
That is your grade, isn't it?
So it's a yes or no. If the paper gets published, that's considered a success.
Yes, exactly.
Now, do you think that the work that you're doing, and again, this is the voice of our friend Dexter Holland from The Offspring here on the Kevin DeBede Show. We're talking about his paper that he has just published. Do you think that this research potentially, honestly, could lead to them cracking the AIDS mystery that we've been fighting for the last 35 years?
Well, I think so. There's a lot of promising research out there, but this is one of them. You know, they found that if you get the right microRNAs and you put it into infected cells or, you know, cells with disease, that sometimes it can reverse it. And this is all kind of in the test tube, so to speak, right now. But there's definitely promise.
Wow, amazing. What do you take a lot of ribbing from the other guys in the band when you start talking about stuff like this? Do they just not want to hear from you?
They think I'm a nerd. They walk away.
Is this super gratifying? Like, is this something that really gets your juices flowing like playing rock music does? It's something you really, really enjoy?
You know, it's something that I started a long time ago, and I actually quit school because the band was taken off, which was awesome and fantastic. But I've always kind of wanted to come back and finish it just to have done the work, done the good deed.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, at least you were able to summarize for me in layman's terms in like two or three sentences more than I got out of trying to make my way through this paper, because it is like 10 pages of scientific gobbledygook. And by the way, we have Dexter's paper up at KROQ.com. You can go to the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com. You can see a link to read the whole thing if you want, if you're interested in this sort of thing. It really is going to depress you, though, if you try to read it. It's really kind of sad. But good luck with it, I guess, Dexter.
Hey, just call me if you have any questions.
Okay.
No, I will. I'm going to spend some time with it over the weekend and see if I can figure out some more. All right, well, so good luck with flying the planes and selling the hot sauce and making the records and touring the world and now curing AIDS. We appreciate your time, as always. Have a good weekend.
Hey, real quick, I just want to say thanks to USC. Everybody's been great to me. Thanks to the Department of Molecular and Computational Biology and Dr. Rashid and Dr. Baker. It's been a great time. So big shout-out to USC.
And we thank all of those same people, too, for the Kevin DeBede Show.
All right.
See you, Dexter.
Thanks.
Talk MMA with the champ. UFC's Cain Velasquez joins us after the top of the hour here on KROQ. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Quick recap. I mentioned last hour that I was partying with Adam West last night at that classic Batman TV series launch party. And I mentioned the junk food t-shirts, the Batman junk food t-shirts. And like all right-thinking Americans, many of our people want to buy those shirts because you should buy everything with Adam West on it. And so I wanted to give them a shout-out. It's junkfoodclothing.com is where you can go to get those shirts.
Does Adam get a piece of those, Ralph?
I don't know what his deal is. I know that they had to pay him for a licensing fee to use his image on a lot of all this merchandise. And last night, Warner Brothers launched all the stuff they're going to be releasing this year. So they had the Mattel action figures that look like him, and there's going to be calendars and greeting cards. I mean, it's just going to be a glut of 1960s.
You're going to need another room in your house.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to buy a new house. Yeah, I got to buy a house. I got to buy a bat house.
You're going to be like Corolla in his cars. You're going to have one house for your Batman stuff and then another house to live in.
It's nuts. I'm going to sell some stuff off to make room for the new stuff. But it's all really cool stuff that's going on. And the thing was, I wanted to bring it up again, is I buried the lead. Because, of course, I was there with Adam. I was partying with him, and it was a lot of cool stuff to look at. And Meltdown Comics, by the way, is where I was at on Sunset. But while I was there partying, who did I party with also? Who was I hanging out with? Who did I have my photo taken with?
I somebody from the Batman universe?
No.
I'm out. I don't know.
Catherine Webb.
Really?
Yeah!
From Splash?
Splash's Catherine Webb.
Miss Alabama, USA?
She's a lovely lady.
In the words of Brent Musburger.
Guys, go out in the backyard and start throwing the football around.
Throw the football around. Because I'll tell you, the quarterback's got all the good girls. She's a lovely lady. Though.
What was she doing there?
Just wearing a Batman t-shirt, just looking hot.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but she is 12 feet tall.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah. I looked up at her and said, oh, my goodness. I bet you can dive. I said, bumfering. But she was lovely and could not have been nicer. So,
well, that's good. All right.
So that was a good time last night.
Didn't make you take your eyes off Adam West, though, right?
No.
Yeah, not even close.
Oh, he's so good. He's the best. Linda Lohan in the news again. You know, she was sentenced to 90 days in a lockdown rehab facility. Familiar with that?
Yes.
That sentence that she got. Well, here's the thing. She lives in New York now. And it's not possible for Lindsay to go to a lockdown rehab facility in New York State because they don't have one.
Oh.
So if she doesn't fulfill that part of her sentence, she could go to real jail as a result. Because her lawyers all said, oh, yeah, but she's just going to do it in New York. Thanks, Judgy Wedgie. And they walked out of the courtroom. But it turns out she can't possibly fulfill that part of the sentence in New York.
Could she make a call, though, and do it in California or some other state if she asked?
I guess. But it seems like prosecutors and the judge are kind of pissed off because her legal team said to her, oh, we got this handled. We'll take care of it on our end.
No one
did any investigation. There's only one facility where you can get locked down that's a rehab, and you have to be a felon. You have to have had a prior felony charge leveled against you in order to get that facility.
So she has to wait a month.
That's right. She has to go out and commit a felony so that she can actually be sentenced to that lockdown facility in New York State. So,
More troubles for Lindsay in the courtroom. What a shock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been announced. Will be starring in a new series of films based on his character from the Fast and the Furious movies. Federal Marshal Luke Hobbs. Oh, I wonder if Luke Hobbs and Mike Banning got together. Which one would win? Dwayne mentioned that in an interview with Empire Magazine, the British film magazine, saying that it will be done after the sixth film in the series, he said, or after the next one after that. I'm not quite too sure. So if nothing else, we're going to get a few more dozen Fast and the Furious.
I don't know how many of those we need.
People go, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They like to see cars go fast, and that Paul Walker, he's dreamy. How about Amanda Bynes? She's nuts, right?
Sure.
She's still acting like a strange duck. Lately, she's been on a tweeting rampage about Drake. She loves her some Drake. Drake is a hot fellow, she tweeted. By the way, who's using the word fellow these days, except for Bean?
That's a good question.
Like, thanks for that tweet, Amanda. Drake is a hot fellow. You are who you date, she also cryptically tweeted. She tweeted she's proud that she created the phrases LLY and LOLOLOL. For the internet, she created those, in case you're using.
I had no idea.
Did you send her a nickel or something every time we use that?
Didn't know that.
And her most recent tweet, which may be the best one, I want Drake to murder my vagina.
That isn't good for you.
She has never been more serious about a man than she is about...
Get in my vagina.
All right, I will. American Idol, Wednesday night, had an all-time low for its Wednesday night performance shows. For the fourth consecutive weeks, according to preliminary numbers, people speculating, could it be the end of Idol? Well, probably not, because it was still first place overall of all the networks, even though it was an all-time low for that show. That's how big that show is. It can be at an all-time low ratings-wise and still beat everything else on television.
Still be a big hit, yeah.
It's nuts.
There are some shows that just stay on the air forever. I mean, when you said CSI just got renewed yesterday, I was saying 14 years and people aren't tired of it. It's incredible, huh? The appetite that we have for some things.
Survivor also inched down a little bit in the ratings, but still drew almost 10 million total viewers for its episode this week. So, overall, broadcast television is down, but the hits are still the hits. You know, if everything goes down, if you do pretty well, you can still hang in there. And this was a near miss. I wish we had seen this. Dave Grohl was talking about Sound City, his new documentary, which, if you didn't see, you can pick it up now on DVD or Blu-ray. He mentioned the sort of reunited Nirvana that got together with Paul McCartney as a frontman for that song they did for Sound City and on the soundtrack. But an actual Nirvana song was almost featured in Sound City. Dave told NME.com that he asked PJ Harvey to be in the Sound City movie, and he wanted her to sing lead on Nirvana's Milk It from the In Utero album. Dave was going to be on drums. Chris Novoselic would play bass, Pat Shmear on guitar. But they had to back out at the last minute because PJ Harvey couldn't show up. So we missed out on seeing a new version of a Nirvana song. That would have been very cool.
That would have been neat. Yeah.
I'm surprised that that's the only way they were going to do it was with PJ Harvey. Seems like they could have, you know, had somebody else sing it.
I guess if you have a female lead singer, it's different enough that no one would say, oh, look, right, they're trying to recapture the glory days. And right, maybe Courtney Love wouldn't put a fatwa against him if he used a woman.
Right.
It's big an issue. Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Modine, 54 years old today. Lena Olin. Remember her on Alias?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sydney's mom. Great.
She was great.
58 years old. Bob Costas is 61. Wolf Blitzer is 65 years old today. William Shatner, the captain, the admiral, the Priceline negotiator. He's all those things. 82 years old today. I'm Ralph.
Excuse me, Rescue 911.
Oh, I forgot.
TJ Hooker. Yeah. Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, hit it, Steve. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to interview Cain Velasquez. Hi, Cain, UFC heavyweight champion of the world. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
See, this is the good part of your job when you're not having a dude hit you in the face. This is when you can just walk around and go, "Yeah, I'm the champ. I'm rolling deep. I'm doing great. No one's hitting me, right?"
For me, best part of my job is the training and fighting. This is the hardest stuff.
You don't like this part,
really?
Yeah, this is not for me. You know.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, and I saw the pictures that you tweeted a couple days ago of that signing that you were doing. The good thing is that people are always happy to see you when you show up. Is that crazy how many fans showed up for that signing the other day?
It is. You know, it's crazy. And especially if we, you know, advertise it, that it's going to be hour, 2 hour signing. I mean, it's hard to get all those people in, you know, and I definitely want to do that. I want to get as much people as I can, in. So, I mean, but it's great, you know, have a big turnout like that just to have all the fans come out and just, you know, smile on their face and everything else. It's cool.
And you're very popular in Southern California, too. I imagine, you know, partly being, you know, Mexican-American and everything, but partly just because you've been such a great champion. You have a lot of fans here as well, right?
Yeah.
It's been so fun for us, you know, being on the air for a long time and seeing the rise of UFC, to see where it's come, where there are such big stars. I mean, the sport is so big now that a guy like you, I imagine, gets recognized almost every day, I would imagine, when you're out, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Which wasn't the case a few years ago. You know what I mean? I mean, now you guys, it's so big time now. I mean, are you surprised to see where the sport has gone in the years that you've been fighting?
Kind of. You know, when I first got into it, I mean, it was just coming up in its popularity.
Right.
And, I mean, definitely now where it is, I mean, you know, it's worldwide known. You know, go to a lot of countries and definitely get recognized, you know, for what we do. I mean, so it's a good thing. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with, it doesn't matter what your background is, you know, you can just see a UFC fight, never really know the rules either, and automatically, you know, trying to get drawn to it.
Right.
It's a fight, so.
And still be amazed by the skill of the fighters, too, and see them do things that you could never do and you don't know how to do and you don't know how they do it. I mean, and what's great about the UFC, and I think the reason why, you know, it has caught on with everybody so much, is that every fight is different, mm-hmm. and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, it seems like every fight night there's some big surprise of something you can't imagine, you know?
Definitely. You know, there's a lot of aspects to this sport where it's boxing, you know, the kickboxing, the wrestling, the jiu-jitsu. And for it, you know, also we have, you know, the small gloves on. So, I mean, any little hit will kind of, you know, you can get a quick knockout or anything else like that. So, I mean, it's always very exciting.
This is the voice of Cain Velasquez here on the Kevin Bean Show. And we're going to talk about UFC 160 and his fight coming up with Bigfoot here in just a minute. Now, you were in the news recently because they kind of tore up your UFC contract and gave you a different one, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, we just renegotiated. You know, I think I had like two or three more fights on my contract left. And Dana White ended up calling me up and just saying, hey, I want to renegotiate your contract. And, I mean, you know, definitely, you know, just took care of me. So definitely, you know, happy for that. And so
that must make you feel really great.
Yeah, it does. You know, it just shows that, you know, that the whole organization is behind me, that they see good things in me. So I'm definitely happy.
How old are you, Cain?
I'm 30.
And how do you think you're going to feel after 8 more fights?
I don't know. We'll see.
Like,
right?
An old man.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 fights, that has to add 20 years to the way you feel, I would imagine.
Yeah. We'll just see, you know, I'll just take it by day, see how my body's feeling. I mean, that's all you can do, you know.
Sure. Yeah, of course. When you're the champ, and this, forgive me if this is a really dumb question, but I don't think I've ever asked in all the years we've been interviewing fighters, but when you're a champ, what do you get? You get a belt. Mm-hmm. You get a big payday. Is there anything else that you get or any other perk that you get? Do they give you a car? Do they give you an apartment? Do you get a woman? What do you get?
No, it depends. You know, one of our big sponsors is Harley Davidson. So in the last fight, the winner of the fight got a new Harley motorcycle. So I ended up getting a Harley motorcycle. So
that's
nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's cool.
And do you ride or do you ride now? I should ask.
I do ride. Yeah. I do ride.
Wow. May 25th, MGM Grand Garden Arena, Las Vegas. That's where UFC 160 is going to be. You versus Bigfoot. Now, a lot of people were, frankly, not as excited when this was the fight that was announced because of how much you dominated them last time. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Dana made the choice to make this the fight?
You know, he's on a 2-fight winning streak, you know, 2 knockouts. He just knocked out Alistair Overeem, who was, you know, one of the best heavyweights out there. You know, this is a dangerous fight. You know, Alistair Overeem underestimated him in the fight. You know, he ended up getting knocked out by Bigfoot. So I need to have that same mentality going in, that I cannot underestimate this guy because he is dangerous.
Is it difficult for you, though, to put out of your mind how easily you handled him last time?
I just have to think of it as a new fight, you know. This is a new fight. I got to expect, you know, the best things coming from him. So I need to be in the top of my game because I definitely have a lot to lose, you know. I want to be the heavyweight champion for a while. So
right.
I want to hold that belt, so I have to defend it.
The last time you guys fought, which was what, in May? I want to say May of last year, right?
Yeah, May of last year.
So it'll be almost exactly a year when you have the rematch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The last time you fought, there was a lot of blood on him, right?
Yeah.
What did you do? What did you cut open on him?
He was on the ground. I was on top of him. I threw an elbow and I kind of cut him between the eyes. So, just a lot of blood.
And did you sense that he was having a lot of trouble seeing because of that? Is that one of the things that contributed to him losing?
Definitely, all that blood going into his eyes. I mean, definitely made it hard for him to see. I just try, with that, I mean, it's kind of more motivation to finish the fight,
Yeah, of course. I mean, you see a weakness. You gotta pursue that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what are the rules? What are the ref's rules on whether to stop a fight in a situation like that if somebody can't see?
Is that not a deal? It's not really a deal. If he really can't, defend himself in a good way, then the referee, will make a call to go in and stop the fight. He was trying, to wipe the blood off and kind of still, fight through it. But eventually it just didn't work.
Have you? I know you've only lost one fight, right? In the UFC.
Yeah.
And I know that wasn't the case in your fight that you lost to Junior. But have you ever had a fight in your life where that has happened to you, where you weren't able to see because of the blood?
No, it hasn't.
It doesn't look like fun, dude.
No,
he's trying to avoid it. I sense.
It doesn't look like the way you want it to go. That's
for sure. I mean, those are some of the scenarios that we go through fighting, some of the stuff could happen, if you can just fight through it, that's pretty much it, hopefully it just doesn't happen to you.
So we just lost our dear friend being in Seattle, Kane.
Oh,
and,
okay.
So we'll take a break,
okay.
And we'll come back, and we'll reconnect, and we'll talk more about you.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, cool.
Kane Velasquez in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show, UFC 160, Velasquez versus Bigfoot 2. Tickets are going on sale today at 10 a.m. MGM Grand Garden Arena, Las Vegas, May 25th, 2013. Kane, is that Memorial Day weekend? Does it work out that way?
Yeah, it is.
Sweet. Sounds like a fun weekend. You have fought in a lot of places. You fought in Australia. You fought here. You fought in Germany, Florida, Montreal, St. Petersburg, Russia. How do you like Las Vegas as a fight location? And is it any different for you when you're getting ready for a fight, and especially for that night?
It's no different, pretty focused on the fight the whole week. If we fight Saturday, we're there on Tuesday, so we're there pretty much the whole week. Just pretty much in the hotel doing PR stuff, and then after the fight is when we kind of can relax and kind of...
That's when you can kind of enjoy being in Las Vegas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
So in other words, all the distractions in that town, you're not tempted at 3 a.m. Come on, let's just go to the tables for a little while.
No, I don't gamble, so that kind of stuff does not interest me at all.
Yeah, that's cool. So tickets are on sale today at 10 o'clock. You can get them through mgmgrand.com or ticketmaster.com. Tell me some more about the rest of the card, Kane.
So Junior Dos Santos is also fighting Mark Hunt.
Your old friend.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think pretty sure, the winner of that, we'll get the next shot at the title. So we'll see what happens.
But it's you and Bigfoot at the top of the bill again. You have any kind of even a passing relationship where you guys know each other or see each other at all? Or is it really only when it gets to fight week that you guys ever even interact with one another?
Fight week or during fights, if we're doing media stuff together, that's pretty much it, yeah. But it's with me, I don't really talk to my, my opponents or anything else
right.
like that. Yeah.
And you're not a trash talker anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I don't do that.
He, by the way, and I'm sure you know this, I'm sure even if you wanted to not know it, it's going to get to you. I mean, he has been extremely complimentary about you, particularly this time around, talking about what a professional you are and how seriously he takes you. I mean, it's kind of the opposite of the way he treated Overeem, I thought.
Yeah, well, yeah, him and Overeem definitely had that bad blood. They were doing, trash talking back and forth and everything else. So, I mean, with me, it's all business. I don't really talk trash about my opponent. I mean, it all comes down to the fight, anyway. So I'll definitely just let my talking do in the fight.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You must get people coming up to you all the time who are fans of yours, love watching you, and think, man, the UFC looks like an awesome lifestyle. What kind of advice do you give folks who want to fight for a living?
If you want to fight for a living, I mean, you know, just find a gym that has everything, you know, that has the jiu-jitsu, that has the boxing, that has the, you know, the wrestling, and do it. I mean, but as far as the lifestyle, I mean, it's hard, you know. Every day training, it seems just kind of, you know, just kind of the same every day. You know, you're doing the same right. stuff every day. And you just have to motivate yourself that, hey, this is what I need to do to get better, and I have to do it. And, you know, that's it.
And it does seem like the kind of job that you're never done with. There's always going to be another fight until you retire. Yeah, uh-huh. And you always have something to think about and always something to train about. And you, like we talked about earlier, it seems like you never know what your opponent's going to throw at you. So it's unlimited the amount of scenarios that you have to prepare for, I think.
Yeah, there is. You know, but I feel like, you know, our window in this sport is so short that you know, this is the time now to do it. So, you know, do it to the best of our abilities. And then once it's over, you know, do something else.
Well, you guys sure put on a great product for the fans. I'm telling you, it's like every fight you go, well, maybe I won't get this one. Oh, wait a minute. They're fighting? I got to see that. Did you watch Ronda's fight, by the way, on the last pay-per-view?
I didn't see it, but I heard about it, yeah.
Did you have any thoughts about women? You know, Dana had famously said he was not going to ever let him fight in the UFC, and then he turned it around because she's so good. Did you have any thoughts one way or another on that?
I thought it was good, you know, definitely. You know, I've seen, you know, when women fight in smaller cards, and they always put on good fights. You know, they're just as skilled as men and everything else. So, I mean, definitely to give them a shot in the UFC is the best thing for sure.
Yeah, well, it's doing nothing but bringing more fans to the sport, man. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
UFC 160, Cain Velasquez versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva. Heavyweight title fight is going to be on Saturday night, May the 25th, 2013, MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Tickets are going on sale in about a half an hour from right now. We've said this so many times on this show. You haven't seen the UFC until you've seen it in person. And their tickets go as cheap as $75, by the way. So it might be fun. Memorial Day weekend, pretty good idea. Head out to Las Vegas for the weekend. See yourself a fight. Have a great time. MGMGrand.com or Ticketmaster.com. We'll be pulling for you, man. Thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Poor Cain Velasquez. He's sitting there, and Beer Mug is like, yeah, I should eat better, you know. I don't know what happened. You've heard that sob story before, Ralph.
Why do you talk to people?
Why do you talk to any of us?
No one asks you to talk to anyone. I'm a big fan of Cain's.
Well, fine. You know what you say then? By the way, big fan. Best of luck in the fight. And then shut the F up. Don't get into your personal problems. Yeah, you know me. Look at me. I'm flabby. And
he was giving Cain a night-by-night recap. Then I get home late on Tuesdays, and I'm hungry, and all I have is like a frozen burrito, and poor Cain is just sitting there just looking for something sharp to end his life.
What could possibly make you think he has any interest in any of that?
I just want to give him some motivation for the big fight coming up.
How the hell?
Speaking of Beer Mug, before we get out of here, before the final Showbiz Beat, Irvine Lake Mud Run Spring Break at the Lake is happening on Saturday, April the 6th. Now, Beer Mug, you are running in this, right?
Somehow.
Running. I am,
running.
I'll probably be a brisk walk.
I hear it is more muddier than ever course with new surprise obstacles, over a dozen mud pits, huge beer garden, live bands. You can go to IrvineLakeMudRun.com or you can call K-Rock right now at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 10 through 14, you can run with Beer Mug. We'll give you a hundy, by the way, if you hold his face down in the mud for 5 to 8 minutes.
How dare you?
Eat all the mud and then there won't be anything left for people to run in.
There'll be no mud left in the world because Beer Mug will have eaten it all. All right, time for our final look at the show. Beat, here's Ralph.
That being said,
yes,
don't get me wrong, fire Beer Mug.
Oh, come on.
But
absolutely.
But when the radio god stepped in and removed Bean from the planet, Beer Mug got on the microphone and was very cool, calm, and collected, and got us out of that segment and into a commercial stop set and some songs. And it was very professional.
Very professional.
The most professional I've ever heard Beer Mug.
He didn't panic. He didn't scream.
A lot of people would have panicked in that situation. It would flummox. There would have been this shuffling of papers and hitting of buttons and stuff. But Beer Mug handled himself very well.
Thank you, Ralph. I gave him the same compliment when I got reconnected. I was very impressed with the way he handled it. It's not what I expect from Beer Mug.
However, that being said, he did allow Bean back on the air. And then I have a problem with that, of course. But, look, guy can't be perfect.
Sure.
Fire Beer Mug.
Indeed. Fire Beer Mug, indeed. Porn star Kim Kardashian spent 9 hours this week in a deposition. 9 grueling hours.
That is a long deposition.
Why isn't this on TV, Ralph? Why don't they edit this up for a special?
Oh, it will be. This, of course, all surrounds the divorce proceedings with her and her still husband, Chris Humphries, who is insisting on an annulment because he claims she married him just to boost her TV show's ratings and then defrauded
him. You don't think
him.
I feel bad?
No, no, we don't. Rumor has it, a producer has admitted that the proposal scene in Keeping Up the Kardashians was reshot because Kim didn't like her reaction. Because
she had a real reaction, which was,
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Let's do that again. Yay! Everyone heads to the courtroom for the trial in early May. So we'll get our taste of it. But
porn star Kim Kardashian.
I just like the idea of her just being all whalish in its chair for 9 hours, rolling around in a deposition, sweating and being uncomfortable, and her Spanx riding up on her and stuff. I just like that idea of her being uncomfortable.
What do you guys think? Do you think there was fraud involved here, or is this just a case like with many women, famous or not, that just get caught up in the excitement of, hey, I get to plan a wedding and be the center of attention for a year, and I'm going to do it, and then you find out after the fact, I don't really dig this person. Was it fraud for the TV show, a business fraud, as he is alleging, or do you think it's just a bad matchup for romance?
It is hard for me to put anything past that family when it comes to that show.
True.
Knowing how just relentlessly, callously in pursuit of fame and reality show.
Yeah, that's not going to help him, that's for sure.
I mean, I could imagine her going to her mom, Chris, and saying, look, I really don't want to marry him. She's like, no, just do it for the show. You can get out afterward. Yeah.
It happens all the time.
No, we can't stop at this point.
Yeah, I agree. So, we'll wait and see. We'll see what comes out in the trial. I, for one, will be watching. This is good news. Looks like Katie Holmes wants to do a Broadway musical.
Huh?
She wants to be on The Great White Way. She, according to the New York Post, is more than envious of Anne Hathaway's career.
She did Chicago, I think.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Anyway, she wants to beef up her resume with some singing and dancing and stuff. Now, her people are saying it's not true, but the New York Post says they know from a source that she's interested in doing a show on Broadway and perhaps some movie musicals as well, trying to expand her repertoire.
She's a good actress who has not worked a lot in the cruise years.
Well, she's been busy, getting clear, and writing all the Thetans out of her and stuff, and talking to Xenu and writing in
and
a spaceship.
Raising a daughter, by the way.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, whatever. Daughter. Nothing compared to Xenu. Old classic TV shows are getting a little bit of a attention this week in the showbiz news. A Mary Tyler Moore show reunion's in the works over on that show Hot in Cleveland. Betty White and Georgia Engel are already on the show, so they are bringing in Valerie Harper, Cloris Leachman, and Mary Tyler Moore herself to do an episode. I'd watch that, I think. I'm a sucker for those reunion shows.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about classic television, Bob Newhart, still hilarious and sharp at 83 years old, he's showing up on an upcoming episode of The Big Bang Theory. He's going to play a character named Professor Proton, the fictional host of a science TV show that Sheldon, Jim Parsons' character, loved as a kid. So Sheldon hires Professor Proton just to come to the guy's apartment and just hang out. It's like what I would do with Adam West if I had the money. I would just hire him to come to my house. Apparently,
I'm surprised you haven't already installed him in your Batman memorabilia room.
I think he gets nervous around me sometimes.
He should.
I'm going to encase him in plastic and put him in the collection.
If you could, God forbid we lose Mr. West.
How
in the next
dare
few years.
You? But I don't even want to talk about it.
If you could, would you stuff him and put him in your museum? If you could have his actual corpse in your house, no, stuffed, though, and cleaned up, would you do it, Ralph?
Stuffed and cleaned up.
I'm sorry, the keyboard cat is telling you it's
time
to go.
I'm asking a legitimate question.
No, you're not. It's not a legitimate question.
It is.
It's you being creepy on top of creepy.
I'm not being creepy. If you could, would you?
No, of course not.
You wouldn't want to have
him. There's nothing that's not creepy about that.
For all eternity, you would not want to have him in your house.
There's no way to not make that creepy.
You could put him in a bat suit if you wanted, or you could put him in a Ralph Garman t-shirt, whatever you'd want to do with him. You could prop him up and
roll
make him hold beers.
On wheels.
What the hell?
All right. That's creepy.
What the hell?
Get your picture taken with him in any position.
What? No, that is not creepy.
No, I don't mean it like that.
Yes.
All right. You know what?
We're all
I'm
done.
Serious.
It's no, Friday.
We're all done.
It's 9:44.
So I guess you don't love Adam West.
Forward. No point going
we're
forward.
Done.
So you're not. You don't love Adam West.
We have a
do.
Song.
I absolutely do love him. Spent last night with him, hanging out at that
you could spend
party.
Eternity with him is what I'm saying.
And I'm saying, he. First of all, he's never going to die, right. First of all.
No, I hope that's true.
And
I hope
second
he lives
of
forever.
All, that's no. I would never in a million years disrespect the man in that way. In
how
your
is it disrespectful? You're saying
creepy
that is
way that you mentioned.
That it's more disrespectful to waste him by putting him in a box in the ground
God,
when you can have him live
it.
Forever in your museum.
This is beyond hideous.
This is, I think it's a great
you
idea.
You have sunk to depths that even I thought you were not capable of.
I would stuff Weird Al and leave him on my couch
I'm
in my
sure
living room.
He's thrilled
I would totally
to hear that.
Do that. I wouldn't have any problem owning Weird Al. After he's gone, what's wrong with you,
we
Ralph?
We have so much to explore next.
You're either in or out.
Adam's friendship, his live walking the earth friendship
is great.
Means more to me than he does than the man himself. Than
this
that,
doesn't
that
this
shell.
Doesn't take anything away from that friendship.
It
that
does,
friendship
it absolutely does. Because as a friend, I wouldn't do that to a friend. Wouldn't do it.
You could own.
Wouldn't stop him and put him in a case.
It could be a nice case, though. All right, I'm with Ralph. Let's just say goodbye, shall
wow.
we?
Yes.
Now you're with
Less.
Me.
Now I'm with you. Because I can't believe how wrong you are. Because I can't believe that all this time I thought you were a
Stop.
Fan of TV's Batman, and now I find
Talking.
Out you really don't care for him at all.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Modine's 54. Lena Olin from Alias is 58. Wolf Blitzer is 65 years old. William Shatner, legendary.
I would own him also.
Jesus.
I love Bill enough that television I would put him in. I'd probably keep him in the barn, but I'd keep him.
82.
82. Okay.
And Bob Costas, sportscaster and TV host Bob Costas, is 61 years old today. You know the rumor about Bob Costas?
Yeah, there's a part of him I would stuff.
Bob's a dick. 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 Bob's a dick. Dick.
That's not the
He's
rumor.
He's a dick. 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 Bob's a giant dick.
Not a nice guy.
What a dick.
I believe
dick,
not a nice guy
dick,
is what the rap is.
Bob's a dick.
I want to know what
dick,
rumor Lisa heard.
Dick, yeah. You know.
No, I don't know.
You
I don't.
Don't?
No.
It's the Milton Berle rumor.
Can we bring that down? Bob Costas is packing?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I've never heard that.
I've never heard that. He's a tiny little guy.
You're confusing him.
Sometimes. No.
With Dave Duchovny or something.
No. Nope. I am not.
Liam Neeson.
I know my guys.
John.
Really?
John
yes. I've never heard that.
Well, I don't know where you've been.
I would like All to right. go home now.
I'm with you. All right, let's play that other song, shall we?
Me out, and I don't like any of you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, The Return of the Monkey. K-Rock's Kevin will be back. We got tons of great guests. And don't forget, win Coachella tickets all weekend long here on K-Rock.
That
so close.
My friend.
Almost got out in time there.
Pass it over to me.
That's not brown rice.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Fire beer mug.
Come on. Roll another one.
What an idiot.
Just like the other one.
Asshole.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh. Why not, Bean? This is America!
USA! 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 Roll another one.
Someone needs to explain to me hygiene here.
Just like the other one.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
Fire beer mug.
I don't have another sense.
This definitely calls out to me.
I don't want that joint.
Oh my God.
Just pass it around.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I don't want that joint, my friend.
Some people are just playing crazy.
Well, that about does her. Wraps are all up. Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
What those guys did was horrible.
is horrible and inexcusable, and I might have to go to therapy because of this.
You guys got off easy, but next week, I promise, you will be getting wet.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Is everyone happy with that?
Yes.
Could not be less happy, but I want it to be over more than anything.
Please enjoy.
Die.